ജയം വിഷുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിപ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹർഷിയിലെ പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് ജയം ത്രിലാപ്രവിഷ്ട വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിപ്രവാചകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശ ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹർഷിയിലെ പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് നാമാചാര്യ ശിലഹരിദാസ് ടാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേംസഹു ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈതഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗര ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോ ഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ട ഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാനയ്ക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻധാമയ്ക്ക് മായപ്പൂർധാമയ്ക്ക് മധുരപുരിധാമയ്ക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ് പുരിധാമയ്ക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരിധാമയ്ക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ഗൗർ പ്രേമനന്ദി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലി ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലി ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലി ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ശിഷ്യ ശ്രീ ഗുരുവൻ ശ്രീ ഗൗരാംഗ ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ശിഷ്യയിലെ പ്രഭുപാദ നമാമി ശുഭദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനിധി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വദേവം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണേ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതി വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതി വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതി വാസുദേവായ സംസാരസാഗരേ മഗ്നം ദീനം മാം കരുണാനിധേ കർമ്മഗ്രാഹഗൃഹീതാംഗം മാമുദ്ധര ഭവാർണവാ ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതാഖ്യോയം കൃഷ്ണമേവഹി സ്വീകൃതോസി മയാ നാഥ മുക്ത്യർത്ഥം ഭവസാഗരേ മനോരഥേ മദീയോയം സഫലാ സർവദാ ത്വയാ നിർവിഘ്നേനൈവ കർത്തവ്യം ദാസോഹം തവ കേശവ ഭവേ ഭവേ യഥാ ഭക്തി പാദയോർസ്തവ ജായതേ തഥാ കുരുഷ്വ ദേവേശ നാഥസ്ത്വം നോ യത പ്രഭോ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം യസ്യ സർവപാപ പ്രണാശനം പ്രണാമോ ദുഃഖശമനം തം നമാമി ഹരിം പരം ജന്മാദ്യസ്യ യദോന്വയാദിതരത ചാർത്ഥേഷ്വഭിജ്ഞസ്വരാൻ തേനേ ബ്രഹ്മഹൃദായ ആദികവയെ മുഹ്യന്തി യത്സൂരയ തേജോവാരിമൃതം യഥാ വിനിമയോ യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷാം ധാംനാ സ്വേന സദാ നിരസ്തകുഹകം സത്യം പരം ധീമഹി ധർമ്മപ്രോജ്ജിതകൈതവോത്രപരമോ നിർമ്മത്സരാണം സദാം വേദ്യം വാസ്തവമത്ര വസ്തു ശിവദം താപത്രയോന്മൂലനം ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനികൃതേ കിം വാപരൈരീശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യവരുദ്ധ്യതേത്ര കൃതിഭി ശുശ്രൂഷുഭി തക്ഷണാ നിഗമകൽപതരോർഗലിതം ഫലം ശുഖമുഖാദമൃതദ്രവ സംയുതം പിബത ഭാഗവതം രസമാലയം മുഹുരഹോരസികാ ഭുവി ഭാവുകാഹ സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശ്വോൽപത്യാദിഹേതവേ താപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നുമ യം പ്രവ്രജന്തം ഹനുഭേദമഭേദകൃത്യം ദ്വൈവായനോ വിരഹകാതരമജ്ജുഹവാം പുത്രേതി തന്മയതയത്തരവോഭിനേതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിമാനതോസ്മി യസ്വാനുഭാവമഖില ശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അധ്യാത്മദീപമതിഥിതീർഷതാം തമോന്ധം സംസാരിണാം കരുണയാ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനുമുപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയേ കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കളവേണു കുണിതാദ്രദാനനിന്ദോ മമ വാചി വിശംഭരാം മുരാരേ മധുരീം ന കണികാപി കാപി നമോ ഓം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namini Namaste Saraswati Devim Gauravani Pracharini Narvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshadarini Shrimal Guru Charanaravindabhyam Nama Vande Nanda Vrajastrinam Padarenumabhishtasha Yasam Harigadot Gidam Punadi Bhunatrayam Gobi Charanaravinda Paramanavinama Pidambaram Karavirajita Chakrashangham Kaumodagi Sarasijam Karuna Samudram Ratha Sahaya Madhisundara Mandahasam Vatalaye Shamanisham Hridibhavayami Komalam Kujayan Venum Shyamaloyam Kumaraga Vedavedivaram Brahma Vasadam Burado Mama Mugam Karodi Vajalam Pangam Lengayadi Girim Yalkravatamaham Vande Paramanandamadhavam Shri Krishnaya Namah Shrimati Radhikaye Namah Sarvatra Govinda Nama Sankirtanam Govinda Govinda Tamalbudam Balagam Ambujekshanam Jadurbujam Shangagadaryudhayidam Srivalsalakshmam Galashobikaustupam Pidambaram Sandrapayodha Saubhagam Verse 9 in chapter 3, 10th canto. Tamalbudam Balagam Ambujekshanam Chadurbujam Shangagadaryudhayidam Srivalsalakshmam Galashobikaustupam Pidambaram Sandrabayodha Saubhagam Maharhavaiduri Kirida Kundalatvusha Parishvatta Sahasrakundalam Uddhama Kanchyangada Kanganadivir Virochamanam Vasudeva Maikshadam Savismayolhulla Vilochano Harim Sudam Vilokyanagatundu Vistadam Krishnavadarolsava Sampramospreshan Mudadujebhyoidam Aplodogavam Athainamastau Dhavadarya Purusham Paramnatangam Kratati Kratanjali Surojisha Bharata Sudhigagraham Virojayandam Gadabhi Prabhavavid. All those verses in relationship with Krishna's appearance in this world, what we saw yesterday. After that, there are these two glorious prayers in the 10th canto from father and mother, from Vasudeva and Devaki, glorifying Krishna. As I said before, that both these prayers, Vasudeva prayers and Devaki's prayers, are both based on the Upanishads. So, you will see, Vidido Sibhavan Sakshat Purusha Prakrite Param Kevalanubhavananda Swarupa Sarvabuddhi Drikkam. The first verse is Vididosi, Krishna saying here that that all the senses comes and dissolves in the mind. Mind dissolves in intelligence. Intelligence dissolves in the ahamtattvam. And ahamtattvam dissolves into mahatattvam, avyaktam, as it is referred to. So, after we cross this avyaktam, avyaktam vyaktimabhannam anyadeyamam papodhayam, it says in the Bhagavad Gita, that that is, that crossing over avyaktam, and that is called, that is the purusha sakshalkaram or self-realization. And in the Kathopanishad, those verses, indriyebhya paravyartaha, atyebhyascha paramada, mahada paramavyaktam, sakashta sa paragadi, all that verse in the Upanishads, which has come to Bhagavad Gita also, So, sense objects are enjoyed by the senses, and if you control the senses, what will happen? The senses will come and create disturbances in the mind. And even if we don't do anything outside, the sense objects will come and create problems inside, even if you don't engage in sense enjoyment. So you can see this movement of the sense objects inside your own mind. You can experience that. So that is why it is mentioned that senses are controlled in the mind, that they are controlled in the mind. And mind, little by little, very slowly, you have to control them by the intelligence. And when the mind is controlled by the intelligence will start giving attention of the to the mind. Attention to the mind. Mind is nothing but chittavritti. Chittavritti. That what is mind? Chittavritti. So we will control everything with the power of the intelligence. With the power of the intelligence. Vididosi bhaval sakshat purusha pragrade purusha pragrade param. So we can go only up to a state that vicharam or thoughts you can control with the intelligence. How is that done? By reflection on the soul. Reflection on the soul. But once the mind dissolves in intelligence, and eventually when the intelligence also gives way to ahamdatvam. Ahamdatvam means the inside, the identification of the soul. And when he gets dissolved there, our work is over. Our work is over with that. So just like the intelligence, mind, senses, sense objects, they all came from the soul. In the reverse process, they go back, sense objects, senses, mind, intelligence, and goes back to the soul again. So after that, avyaktam, it is avyaktam, unmanifested, or avyahrita pravrti, tirodhana shakti, that will develop at that point. Tirodhana shakti. Tirodhana shakti means that out of the five activities we spoke about yesterday, creation, sustenance, dissolution, that means srishti, sthiti, and samharam. And then Ishvara, the Krishna's presence in this world, controlling every one of us as the supreme controller situated in everyone's heart. As Krishna says, Ishvara, sarva bhudanam hrideshe arjuna tishtadi brahmayan sarva bhudani yantra rudhani maya. Krishna controls all of us situated within our heart. Hrideshe arjuna tishtadi brahmayan keeps moving us in this world. Sarva bhudani yandrarudhani maya. Just like a machine, we are operating in this maya, in the world of maya. After saying that, it is after that that the fifth one, tirodhana shakti, comes. When it comes to avyaktam, it comes to avyaktam. So you will see sarvada panibadam dal sarvadoshi shiromukham. That after that experience of the, after all this has dissolved back into the soul, the experience we have of this world at that point, that everything what we see in this world will be the self, will be the soul, will be the soul. We will, that is when you experience that. That after everything has dissolved back into the soul, ahamdatvam, and then it goes into avyaktam, it goes into avyahrita pravrti, and all our vasanas at that point, all our vasana has completely destroyed by then, and all the coverage has gone away. If you remember, in Jagrat Swapnam Sushupti states, we have different kinds of experiences, and the soul, when it's experiencing in three these different states, they experience different things in the Jagrat, in the disturbances, the distress of the body, in the dream state, the distress of the mind, and in the deep sleep, this deep coverage of ignorance, tamogunam, avarana shakti. It's called covering potency of the maya, which covers us in the ignorant state. So neither of these three states has the perfect situation. Avaranam and Vikshepam, that means covering potency and the deluding potency, they are both present in the deep sleep state. They are both present there. But Avaranam is more powerful than the deluding potency. And because the covering potency is so powerful at that stage, we don't know about the delusion, what we are going through, what we are going through at that time. That's what it happens. And Krishna mentions these things, after this covering also goes away. That means the Jagrat state is gone, the dream state is gone, and the deep sleep state is also gone. That means the covering is also gone. After that is that when you see this world, you see everything as Krishna. You see everything as Krishna means that everything is spiritual. Only after that it happens. So you can see that it is not by our effort it happens, rather it happens in the process of self-realization. That is when these things happen. Not by our effort. At the time when self-realization happens to us, these are all the results of that. That the distress of the Jagrat is gone, vacant state is gone, the miseries of the dream state is gone, and even the covering of the strong covering of the deep sleep has also gone. And then you have gone beyond than that, the soul which goes and dissolves itself in the avyaktam. It is after that when you see this world, you will see this world as Krishna's manifestations. If you look into Bhagavad Gita, you will see the same thing. Krishna puts it in 3-4 verses in the Bhagavad Gita. If you look into the 13th chapter, that is what Krishna is talking about. In the 13th chapter, if you look into verses 14, 15 and 16, Sarvada Pani Padam Dal Sarvadoksha Shiro Mukham Sarvada Shudimal Loge Sarvam Avrutya Tishtadi Sarvendriya Gunabhasam Sarvendriya Vivarjidam Asaktam Sarvabhrachaiva Nirgunam Gunabhoktracham Behirandascha Bhudanam Ajaram Charamevava Sushmatva Tadavityayam Durastam Chandike Chatatam. Three verses. First one. Sarvada Pani Padam Dal Sarvadoksha Shiro Mukham Sarvada Shrutimal Loge Sarvam Avrutya Tishtadi. Everywhere are his hands and legs, his eyes and faces, and he hears everything. In this way, the super soul exists. Sarvada Pani Padam Dal Sarvadoksha Shiro Mukham Sarvada Shrutimal Loge Sarvam Avrutya Tishtadi. Krishna is saying, at that point you will only see me, nothing else. My hands, my legs, Sarvada Pani Padam Dal, Krishna's hands and Krishna's legs everywhere. Sarvadokshi Shiro Mukham, everywhere you look, it is Krishna's eyes. Everywhere you see is Krishna's heads. Everywhere you see is Krishna's face. Sarvadokshi Shiro Mukham. Then, Sarvada Shrutimal Loke Sarvam Avrutya Trishtadi. And he hears everything. And in this way the super soul exists. It is difficult, I know, to understand this, but if you give time and to analyze this, you will know that there is a state exists where after finishing with this body, which goes through the Jagrat, vacant state, dream state, deep sleep, it comes to a state where the soul has become its identification with the avyaktam, unmanifested form. At that time, what will the soul experience? That time the body has practically gone. It exists for others who see the body, it exists. But for that person, the body doesn't exist anymore. This is the difference. We will see him, that person who has come to that state, we will see, oh, he has got a body still. But that for that person, the body is not there anymore. What is he seeing there? Sarvada Pani Padam Dal Sarvadoksha Shiro Mukham Sarvada Shrutimal Loke Sarvam Avrutya Tishtadi. In everything there is only Krishna. That is what it means. Upanishad it is Upanishad's words. Sarvada Pani Padam Dal Sarvadoksha Shiro Mukham Sarvada Shrutimal Loke Sarvam Avrutya Tishtadi. And then what else? Sarvendriya Gunabhasam Sarvendriya Vivarjitam Asaktam Sarvabhrachaiva Nirgunam Gunabhoktracha. Then, Sarvendriya Gunabhasam Sarvendriya Vivarjitam asaktam sarvabhakshaiva nirgunam gunabhoktracha. The super soul is the original source of all senses, yet he is without senses. He is unattached, although he is the maintainer of all living beings. He transcends the modes of nature, and at the same time, he is the master of all modes of material nature. Same thing what we studied in the 7th chapter. Krishna is in the material nature, but he says I'm not present there. He's there, but I'm not there. They are present in me. They are present in me, but I'm not present in them. This is the Upanishad's way of saying things. And that we have to, this is why, where we require reflection, contemplation. That continuously, if you analyze this, you will get it. What is Krishna is saying there? That sarvendriya gunabhasam sarvendriya vivarjitam. Then, asaktam sarvabhrikshaiva nirgunam gunabhoktraja. Nirgunam, he has no material qualities, gunabhoktraja. But all the modes of material nature are present in him. All the modes of material nature are present in him. He is the master of all the material nature. Nirgunam, but he is at the same time, no modes of nature are present in him. And then, the last verse. Bahirandascha bhudanam acharam charamevava sushmatva tadvijnayam durastam chantike chatatam bahirandascha bhudanam acharam charamevava. Inside and outside only Krishna is there, nobody else. Inside and outside. Sushmatva tadavijnayam. Because it is so subtle, it is impossible to know of his presence anywhere. Sushmasvadu avijnayam. And durastam cha andike cha tata. He is so far, but the same time he is closest to you. He is so far, but the same time he is very closest to you. The Supreme Truth exists both internally and externally in the moving and non-moving. He is beyond the power of the material senses to see or to know. Although far, far away, he is also near to all. He is also near to all. So these verses in the Bhagavad Gita is coming here through Vasudev's these words. What is he saying here? Vididosi bhaval sakshal purusha prakrite para. Prakriti is material nature. One who has gone beyond than that material nature is you, addressing Krishna. What Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Vasudev is saying to Krishna in another way. Vididosi bhaval sakshal prakrita purushe para. Kevalana bhavananda swarupam sarva buddhi drikha. Kevalana bhavanandam, that kevala anandam, kevalana bhavanandam. From kevalam comes the word kaivalyam. Kaivalyam means liberation, isn't it? Kevalana bhavanandam, kaivalyam. You will see at the end of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a statement about this in the last chapter of the Bhagavatam, where it says there that the about Srimad Bhagavatam, this statement from Suda Goswami. Suda Goswami says, Sarva Vedanta Saram Yad. It is the essence of all the Vedantam. Sarva Vedanta Saram Yad. Brahmal Paigatva Lakshanam. It is talking about the oneness of the soul with Brahmam. Brahmal Paigatva Lakshanam. Then, Vastu Advidiyam Tannishtam. Vastu advidiyam, there is not one without a second. In other words, there is only one substance, that is the soul. Then what else? Kaivalyega prayojanam. It is for kaivalyega prayojanam. That means that the result of Bhagavadam, Srimad Bhagavadam, is that you reach that state of liberation. Come to the state of liberation. And these things are there in the Srimad Bhagavadam. Those who want a liberation, they can have the liberation. Those who want bhakti, they can have bhakti. They are both in the Bhagavadam. So that is why. Sarva Vedanta Saram Yad Brahmalpaigatva Lakshanam Vastu Advariyam Tannishtam Kaivalyega Prayojanam. That statement is there in the Srimad Bhagavadam. So, Vididosi Bhavan Sakshal Purusha Prakrite Paraham Kevalanu Bhavananda Swarupam Sarva Buddhi Drikka. Kevalanu Bhavananda Swarupam Sarva Buddhi Drikka. What does that mean? Kevalanu Bhavanandam. Only that experience of self-realization exists at that point. Kevalanu Bhavanandam. స్వరూపం సర్వశుద్ధిదని. అండ్ యాజ్ వీ సో హియర్ ఎవ్రీవేర్ ఎవ్రీ వన్స్ వెన్ వీ సే ఎవ్రీవేర్ కృష్ణస్ హ్యాండ్స్ అండ్ కృష్ణస్ లెగ్స్, ఇట్ మీన్స్ దట్ కృష్ణ డజన్ కమ్ విత్ హిస్ ఆల్ లెగ్స్ అండ్ ఎవ్రీ వన్స్ లెగ్స్ అండ్ హ్యాండ్స్ అపియర్స్ యాజ్ దో ఇట్స్ కృష్ణస్ హ్యాండ్స్ అండ్ లెగ్స్. దాట్స్ హౌ ఇట్ ఈస్. నాట్ దట్ కృష్ణ కమ్స్ అండ్ షోస్ హిస్ లెగ్స్ సెపరేట్లీ అండ్ హిస్ హ్యాండ్స్ సెపరేట్లీ థౌసండ్స్ ఆఫ్ హ్యాండ్స్ అండ్ లెగ్స్. వాట్ హ్యాపన్ ఈస్ వెన్ ఎవర్ వీ లుక్ అవుట్ సైడ్ ఆల్ హ్యాండ్స్ అండ్ లెగ్స్ ఆర్ అపియర్స్ యాజ్ దో ఇట్స్ కృష్ణస్ హ్యాండ్స్ అండ్ లెగ్స్. Krishna's hands and legs. What does that mean? Again, it is such a subtle way of saying things that the all activities that is performed in the world are with the hands and legs, isn't it? All activities, karma means, they are what is known as the karmendriyam, karma, senses of action. So all the karmendriyams, whatever action is performed by them, appears as though it's conducted by Krishna. Appears as though it's connected by Krishna. That is what it means. Sarve sarvada pani padam dal, pani and padam, both the hands and the legs, sarvada akshi shiro mukham, all the eyes and the heads everywhere, everything that is happening in this creation gives the impression that it is Krishna is present in everything, in all act. That's all it means. But in the Upanishad way of saying is like that. Sarvada pani padam dal, sarvada akshi shiro mukham, sarvada shrutimal loke sarvam avrutya tishtati. Everything is covered with Krishna. Remember, ishavasyam idam sarvam, cover everything with Krishna. That is the statement in the Upanishads also. Ishopanishad says there, isn't it? Ishavasyam idam sarvam, cover everything with Krishna. That is that state. Covering everything with Krishna. Only Krishna's presence there. Therefore, except Krishna, nothing else exists at that point. And one will experience. And this state is called Nirvikalpa, Nirvikalpa Anubhavam. That means Nirvikalpam. Nirvikalpam means no Vigalpam at that point. You see, now we are seeing everyone separate. Everyone's different actions separately. Everyone's vasanas separately. Everyone's interactions separately in this world. And we say this person is bad, this person is good. This person has said something like this, he did wrong, he did right. Like this, all this, these are all vigalpam, which is happening inside us. Vigalpam it is called. This vigalpam goes away. All vigalpam goes away and nirvigalpa state will come to him. Buddheha sakshim. So that Purusha who is in that state, who is Krishna is at that state, this is the, when we say Krishna in that state means, that the manifestation of the soul at that point is prakrite paraha kevala anubhavananda swarupaham. So where do you buddhehe sakshi, where will you recognize him first, this identification or this state, where will you experience that first? Buddhehe sakshi prakrite paraha kevala anubhavananda swarupaha kevala anubhavananda swarupam. That means he will manifest inside the heart first. So what we have at the moment is not kevala anubhavanandam, what Vasudeva is saying here. What we have got now at this moment is sense perception. That's what we have got right now. What all we have is sense perception. That's all we know. We don't know anything about kevala anubhavanandam, what Vasudeva is saying in the prayers. We don't know that, what it is, isn't it? Why at the moment what is happening, we are seeing, we are hearing, we are smelling, we are touching, we are tasting. That's all we are doing at the moment. So when all these senses withdraw and dissolves in the mind, mind started, only the mind exists at that point. So when the mind also goes back, it goes back into intelligence, and then mind also doesn't exist. And that is what Krishna is saying there. A pure experience of awareness will come. Awareness will come. That is when senses are gone, mind is gone, intelligence is gone, and it has gone and dissolved in the aham tattvam, awareness. Awareness. At that point what exists? Only awareness exists. Awareness means that chit shakti, sata chita anandam, isn't it? That chit shakti, only awareness exists. It has all come from the awareness. What's happening now, it's all going back to the awareness again. So that is what is called. What is there at that point in us?
We only know that our existence, awareness, we are conscious of it. At the moment, we are not conscious of our own existence even. Only someone has to remind you, are you conscious that you are existing? Then you will say, yes, you are existing, isn't it? You know you are existing. Otherwise, how will you answer? You can't answer, can you? So, you are existing. But we are not aware of that. What are we aware of? We are aware of the senses and sense objects. That's all what we are aware of now. We are not aware of our own existence. If somebody asks you, do you exist? Then I'll say, yes, I am. I am existing. I am aware of that. But continuously in that state is only possible when the awareness of the world has gone, of the external world, the sense objects and the senses and the mind and the intelligence and everything gone. One after the other gets dissolved and comes to the pure platform of awareness. That is what is called here Kevalanubhavanandam. That Kevalanubhavanandam is that. Kevalanubhavanandam. Swarupam. That is your Swarupam. That is your real identity. Sarva Buddhidrakam. Kevalanubhavananda Swarupam. Sarva Buddhidrakam. So that I am existing. Of my own awareness. So that existence, my own existence, when the mind gets mixed with that, that's when we experience the world. You see? You have to think from the other side. It isn't difficult, isn't it? That we are used to thinking from this side, that from senses. But practically, originally we were in that state, you see. Kevalanam Bhavanandam, that was our state. In that, this thing called mind came and got mixed up with that. And then what happens? We lost that and got involved in this, in the mind and in the world. That is what Vasudeva's prayers is all about. Whereas Krishna doesn't get involved in all these things, what goes on. There it is always in the transcendental state. Transcendental. This transcendental word itself is very difficult, isn't it? What is this transcendental? People ask this question. Once a man asked a sannyasi about this. You know, this transcendental meditation was very popular at one time. At that time, he asked a sannyasi, do you know what this transcendental meditation is? He said. So the sannyasi thought it's better not to reply. He says, I don't know what transcendental meditation is, but I know one thing, what dental meditation is, he said. That means when I get the toothache, all my attention is on the teeth. That's what he was saying. I know what the dental meditation is, but I don't know what the transcendental meditation is, he said. Because that is how we are, isn't it? We'll understand all these things if it refers to the teeth or to the eye or any other parts of the body. So, bodily concept of life. So, kevala anubhava anandam. So, that anubhuti, experience in that state, that when the mind gets involved, we experience the body, we experience this world, and everything we experience. So, if the mind does not get involved with that experience, awareness inside, and all other identities have gone away, intelligence and ahankaram, ahamasmi, that's the only thing that remains, ahamasmi, my awareness only, and that is called kevalanu bhavanandam. Kevalanu bhavananda swarupam. That is how Vasudev addressed that word. Kevalanu bhavananda swarupam. Sarva Buddhi Drikka. Sarva Buddhi Drikka. So, and that will be experienced as bliss. That is a blissful state. That is what is called Nirvikalpa state. Nirvikalpam state. And actually what you are experiencing at that point, that awareness is experience of the living force inside. Krishna. Experience of Krishna inside. That's why it is like that. And that is what it is called self-realization. So, so there what happens is the mind gives you the way to go towards that. Up to that point, the mind is blocking. It is blocking us. The mind is putting a block in front of us, not allowing it to get there, to get that point. Kevalanam Bhavanandam. So only when this sense objects comes to the senses and senses comes to the mind and mind gets to intelligence and intelligence dissolves in the everything dissolves in the aham tattvam. aham tattvam, only then you will notice that the mind has given you the way. It has let you go to the soul. So here what has happened is Vasudeva got that experience temporarily for some time. Krishna has given it to him temporarily, not for a long period of time, temporarily, just for this glorification purposes. So so that is why, because Krishna, and that, how do we know that? Then what, Krishna has given that to Vasudeva from the prayers only. Normally you won't glorify somebody like this, would you? Suppose Krishna has appeared, you would have spoken about Krishna's beauty, Krishna's directly what you see with the senses, you would have spoken. But here, instead of completely keeping the senses away, simply spoke about the truth in its pure form. Kevalana Bhavanandam. That is an indication that Vasudeva was experiencing self-realization at that moment. Otherwise, he couldn't do that. So, that Krishna, he says here, Sarvabuddhidrik. What is a Sarvabuddhidrik? Sarvabuddhidrik means as a witness to everyone's intelligence. It means that it is him who is sitting in Kamsa's heart also. Kamsa's inside also, and making Kamsa also to do what he is doing. See, Krishna gave this realization to Vasudeva. Why? So that Vasudeva doesn't think that Kamsa is doing something completely independently. No, it is the same that Sakshi, that same Kevala Anubhavanandam, that Kevala Anandam, that soul who is present also in Krishna, in Kamsa, is forcing Kamsa to do what he is doing. So that Vasudeva doesn't feel any unhappiness over it. Unhappiness over Kamsa. That is why. So, so he says here, practically Vasudeva is saying to him, actually you are the person who is sitting in me, who is sitting in Kamsa, and making us to do both what we are doing now. Kamsa is putting them in the prison, torturing them, wants to punish them, and Vasudeva and Devaki is experiencing the fear from Kamsa and always in anxiety, living like that. Both sides is Krishna is doing. Krishna, that's how we have to see that. Kamsa is not independent. Just like Prahlada saw with Hiranyakashipu. Remember? Prahlada said to Hiranyakashipu that, my dear father, you are thinking that you are separate. When Hiranyakashipu asked Prahlada, where do you get all this from, this understanding? And thinking that you have to support Vishnu, that Vishnu is your providing you, maintaining you, looking after you and everything. I don't see any Vishnu anywhere. What did Prahlada say? Prahlada says, my dear father, that Vishnu who is doing everything through me is the same person who is doing everything through you also. There's no difference. Practically, there's no difference in the sense that I'm getting some strength from that. The source is the same. This is what we have to understand. The source is the same. There are not two things existing. There's no two things existing. Hiranyakashipu's source is not different from Prahlada's source. That source is acting through Prahlada in one way and through Hiranyakashipu in another way. If you know that, there is no need to be frightened of the, because the same source is doing two different things through two different bodies. And the same thing Vasudeva is also saying here to Krishna, that you are that source and you are doing these things through me and putting me into this fear of Kamsa and suffering here like this with Devaki. And the same, you are the person who is creating this anxiety and fear for me through Kamsa. That's also you. You are not different from that. In other words, the source is the same. You are the doer. This will make it clear to us, he is the doer and not us. That's where all the misunderstanding has come to us, isn't it? We keep thinking, I am the doer. But actually, Krishna is the doer. If we understand this principle, then it's easier to come to terms with it. Whenever this thought comes, I am the doer, if you replace it with Krishna is the doer, Because it is from Krishna who is doing all these things. When you have Vyavaharam also, in Vyavaharam also, so many things will go wrong against your way of thinking. It may not happen. At that point also you have to think that is Krishna is decided to do it that way through him in the Vyavaharam. And therefore it is happening that way. And through me it is happening this way. Therefore this problem, there must be a reason, the source is the same. From whom everything comes. So you have created this material nature and you are protecting this material nature and you are the person who actually and finally closes this material nature, finally puts a shutter. Also, it's you who do that. So if we take you away from this creation, creation doesn't exist. Because he created this and he is maintaining it the way it is. And he himself, he created this, he maintains it himself, and he himself destroys it at the end. Destroys it at the end. This is the principle how material nature operates. Instead of getting trapped in the material nature, we should see this force behind the material nature, which is controlling the material nature. If we continuously think this principle all the time, Ragadvesham will go from inside. That is advantage. This is the principle behind it. Go back to the source. Go back, like we say, back to the basics, isn't it? Similarly, go back to the source. If you go back to the source, you will see from the source everything has come. Material nature has come. All living entities has come. And the living entities have mutually opposing interests, opposing views, and opposing activities. All these things will disappear because you can't value anymore anything because it's all come from the same source. That is the principle. That's the principle. So, ahamasmi, if you don't have that experience of the soul, who will experience this world? Who will experience this world? Where will you see this world? Where will you see this world? That is what he is saying in the next two verses. Vasudeva is saying this to Krishna. His experience of this world, how it's come about. That is the verse number, you will see in the 17th and the 18th verses. Pure Upanishads. Pure Upanishads. Sages think in a much, much deeper level than what we think about this creation. We think about this creation. And that is why when you read their statements, either you will get very interested in knowing it or you will just give it up straight away. It can only one of these two things happen. You can't stay halfway. Either you will go very deeply into it to try to understand what they are saying. If you are very, if you are vasanasthira in that way, you will go deeply into it. Or you will say, I have no interest in that. It doesn't matter what way it is. Either way it will happen. There is no halfway there. Either full or empty. If you look at the verses 17 and 18, it says, एवं भवान बुद्धनिमेय लक्षणेर ग्राहेर गुणै सन्नमितल गुणाग्रहं अनावृतत्वाल बहिरंदरं नते सर्वस्य सर्वात्मन आत्मवस्तुनाम. You see that? एवं भवान बुद्धनिमेय लक्षणेर ग्राहेर गुणै सन्नमितल गुणाग्रहं अनावृतत्वाल बहिरंदरं नते sarvasya sarvalpana atmavastunam. Krishna Vasudeva is saying that with the intelligence and that senses which follows this intelligence, they exist in this world with the five senses, isn't it? That means five sense objects, in other words. What are the five sense objects? Sound, touch, smell, and hearing and seeing. Five senses. All Shabdadi Vishayam. It's called Shabdadi Vishayam. That's what he's saying here. That although they exist here, Krishna is existing here through the intelligence and through the sense objects, everything. Even though he exists like that, he doesn't join them. He doesn't join them. Then what else happened? Sarvas anavrdatval bahirandaram nate sarvasya sarvalpana atmavastunam. That because he is in different forms in this world, sarvasvarupam,
and he is the soul of everyone, and he is present everywhere, and he is the truth, and therefore he has no coverage either. He has no coverage, what we say in the deep sleep state. Therefore, he has no inside or outside. Inside or outside. Evam bhavan buddhyanumeya lakshaner grahir gunai sannamital gunagraha anavridatval bahirandaram nade sarvasya sarvalpana almavastuna sarvasya sarvalpana almavastuna. Almavastu he is. Krishna is that soul. Sarvasya, everywhere. Sarvalpana, in everyone. Almavastunam. Evam bhavan buddhyanimeya lakshaner grahir gunai sannabital gunagraham anavridatval bahirandaram nade sarvasya sarvalpana almavastuna. Everywhere, present in everyone as the soul. Can you imagine? A new baby is born and you are telling him all these things. How would the baby will think? But this baby is different. That's the difference. This baby who has appeared now, it's a little different baby. That baby is, that is why Vasudeva is specifically pointing out to us that understand this baby in this way. Don't understand, simply think he's like us. Another baby has come to this world. No, he's different. This baby is different. Sarvasya sarvalmana almavastuna. He is the soul present in everyone, and nothing goes on in this whole creation without his knowledge. Without his knowledge in everything, even a blade of grass, they say, don't move without his knowledge. That is how much his presence in this world is. Yeah, the next verse. Ya almano drishya guneshu sannidhi vyavasyade sovyatirekato bhudaha vinanuvadam najatan manishidam samyak vedastyakta upadadat puman ya almano drishya guneshu sannidhi. That normally ya almano drishya guneshu sannidhi, we see the creation in a particular way, in a particular way, but we are not conscious of his presence there, isn't it? Who's Krishna's presence? We are not aware of in anything. This is the way we are. We are experiencing this world. We are eating, sleeping. We are interacting with the world. All kinds of emotions we manifest in us. And everything is happening here. But no time we are conscious of Krishna's presence in anything. That's what he's saying. That one who knows about this, that that all these things are existing due to his presence in the back. Due to Krishna's presence in the back. Remember that example of the screen and the film. The film is going on. This world is that film, what we are seeing. But behind that film, there's a screen. There, see? One who sees the screen, he is seeing. One who sees the film gets caught up in the film. That's the finest example we can think of. The film and the screen. The same way, the world also, he says, ya almano drishya guneshu sannidhi, that without that screen, this film cannot run. But screen can exist on its own. Is it not? Screen can exist on its own. But the film can't run without the screen. Krishna is the screen. And the film is this Maya, the world. What we are? We are busy with the film. We are not interested in the screen as usual. We enjoy the film more than the screen. It is a fact, is it not? Spiritual life is when you leave the film and start seeing the screen. That is spiritual life. That is the difference. This is why we say that we have to go inward looking. That external Maya, it is nothing but the film what you are watching all the time. And you get involved in the film also, and then you had it. Then the film will keep you busy going life after life. It is the film that creates the next body, not the screen. Screen is steady. Screen is just not involved in the film. Film can go, but come and go, but screen is not affected by that. So that's why I say here. So if somebody is thinking only film is real and there is no screen existing behind, he does not understand. He is an ignorant person. Vina anuvadam nachatan manishidam samyak samyagadas tyaktamupadadat puman. So if you think about it, Krishna is saying here that all these material, Vasudeva is saying, all these material bodies and everything is nothing but not a reality. Not a reality. On a very, very, very subtle level, if you think, you can accept it. Otherwise, not. So long as we are on the gross level, we will think this body is real. This body is real. And we will think that the world is real. World is real. But when we become subtle and subtle and finer in our consciousness, what will happen? We'll see this is not real. World is not real. The body is not real. Body is not real. Of course, you can't say this to everyone. The body is not real. You say, then what will NHS do then? They need some business also, isn't it? So, therefore, Vedantam is saying to us, the body is not real. Body is not real. It's a very difficult concept to accept it, isn't it? Unless we become so subtle inside, we won't know that the body is not real. We will keep thinking this body is real. And as long as you think this body is real, you are stuck in the body. You are stuck in the body. So the shifting this attention from the body to the soul is not an easy thing. It's not a very easy thing. It's all right to tell everyone I'm not this body. But when it comes to the how we get stuck in that body, how strongly, that's what he's saying here. That so this experience that in order that is like what he's saying here is that one who keeps the soul away, drishya guneshu means drishya guneshu sanniti. That means you keep Krishna out of this whole thing and think that every object what you are seeing in this world, they exist. One who thinks like that, he is ignorant. If you keep Krishna out of this whole creation and thinks that they all exist. If you are thinking like that, he is an ignorant person. He is an ignorant person. Because in order to experience this world, I should exist, isn't it? I should exist. My awareness should be there. Only then I can experience this world. And that awareness in me is Krishna. Awareness in me is Krishna. Otherwise, where is this awareness coming from? Chit Shakti, what we refers to, is this capacity to be aware of other things. Isn't it? Chit Shakti is that awareness in me, consciousness as we call it. That consciousness or awareness of this existence is coming from Krishna. So without that, this world doesn't exist. Suppose I have no awareness. Does it matter whether the world exists or not? Because awareness is there, for me the world exists today. So my awareness is more important than the existence of the world. Normally scientists are talking about this world more than the awareness. This is a simple principle, but if you capture it, you will get the principle, the thought behind it. The sages are telling us, don't take notice of this world. Take notice of who is experiencing the world. Who has got the experience of the world? That's more important. The one who is experiencing the world is more important than the world. Because if you are not there, you haven't had that capacity, awareness in you to experience the world. The world doesn't exist for you. So many things in this creation exist. We are not aware of that, aren't we? We are not aware of that. What else is existing outside this universe? How do we know? How do we know that exists something outside this universe? Somebody is telling us there are millions and billions of universes and so many things are going on in all these universes. We just have to accept on the belief of or on the acceptance of his words, we have to accept it. Isn't it? Only you can accept it like that because you are not aware of that, are you? So this awareness is more important than the world what we see. That is the point he is making here. Vasudeva is saying it. And then, if you want to experience the world, you should be there first of all. If I am not there, who will experience the world? And this is the greatest point the sages have driven very strongly through the Vedanta philosophy. This point. Science is busy, scientists are busy with the world outside.
the sages are telling us, don't go after the world. Find out who is looking, who is experiencing, where is this experience happening, in whom this experience is happening. This is the Vedanta. This is where Vedanta and science differs. At the very fundamental level, they differ like this. So therefore, everything what the science is doing on its own, all these scientists and Nobel Prize and whatever you say, see in this world, their inventions and all that, from Vedanta, it has no value. It has no value. It's no value. And unfortunately, this one principle, because many scientists find it difficult, if had they accepted this principle, you will see this world in a different way. You will see this world in a different way. The Vedanta is telling us that it is the person who is more important. Who, where is this experience? All this experience of the world, experience of the moon, experience of the sun, experience of the stars, all these universes and all these changes, what's happening? Where is it experienced? It's experienced inside here, in the soul, isn't it? So who is experiencing that? That is the most important question. If you find out who is experiencing, you have solved all the problem. Experience is not important. The experiencer is important. Experiencer is important, not the experience that's important. Science is busy with the experience. Vedanta is busy with the experiencer. That is the difference. Shastram says experiencer is important, not experience. Experience is maya. Experience is maya. Doing research with maya is the last thing one should do. Doing research with maya is the last thing one should do. If you do research with maya, maya will play the games. Maya Panchakam, if you read, you will see there. Akhatida gadana padiyasi maya. Akhatida gadana padiyasi maya. What she will do is, she will make you feel something is the truth today. For about 30-40 years, that will remain as the truth. After that, scientist goes, another scientist will come and tell you, all that what he has been telling is all false. I have got the right one now, answer. He'll come up with another truth. And maya will say, yes, this is the truth. For another 40-50 years, that's the truth. He goes, another one comes and he says, that's also wrong. He also didn't know. Just like the question about this earth planet. Sometimes it is flat, sometimes it is round, sometimes it's flat. Like this. In everything you will see like this in this world, that maya's powerful influence. It is maya who is doing that. Making us to think something, to accept for some time as a truth. Not as a real thing. For some time, it will give you a reality. It will impose that reality in our heads and make us accept that this is the truth. This is the truth. And after that, she will completely clean up the place and put another idea into it and play with us in this way. That's why it is mentioned like this. Then, so you can see here that this one question is what we have to ask the modern science also. They are asking the question, where did this world come from, isn't it? And who created this world? And how many planets are there? And all these big things they are busy with, inquiring all these kind of things. But Vedanta has got only one question to ask them. Who is the person who is seeing this world? Who is seeing this world? And who is experiencing this world? And so I am experiencing this world. If I am experiencing this world, search this origin of the world through me. This is the Vedanta way. Vedantic way is, they want to find out the origin of the world, isn't it? So remember, in I think it is in Switzerland, isn't it? God particle business started. Switzerland or in Austria, I don't know. There was some time ago, there was a proposal to find out the origin of the creation. So they have developed some, what do they call it? A cyclotron, is it? Some famous physical thing where collision happens between the different particles. And from that, they were trying to infer the creation also from that. There was some massive amount of money they have invested into that to find out the origin of the creation, how the creation has happened. Because scientists do want to find out where this world came from. So the Vedanta's answer is, you will never get to know the origin of the creation by your experiments. If you search for the creation in the world outside, where this has come from, you won't find it. Why the world has been created and what is the ultimate cause of this world? If you ask that question, you won't get any answer to that. Yukti shunya vastu prakashasya samya maya. Maya has that. Yukti shunya vastu prakashasya samya maya. What does that mean? Yukti shunya vastu. Maya's answer to everything is yukti shunyam. That means Maya is telling us, don't bring your logic into me. Don't play with me with your logic, Maya says to us. Yukti shunya vastu. Then prakashasya samya. Yukti shunyam vastu prakashasya samya maya. But you will experience it. Whichever way she presents it before you, you can experience the vastu. You can experience the vastu. But your logic, don't apply that to me. That's her answer to that. Ajari Swami's definition on that. Yukti shunya vastu, yukti shunya vastu sam, prakashasya maya. Vastu samya prakashasya maya. Maya. Maya, because why we say maya? Because it won't give you any logic in it. What maya does, you can't have any logic in the maya. Can you? You can't have any logic in the maya. But you will see some logic in there. How does she do that? So you will see now, for example, these different planets, isn't it? Mars, Moon, Sun, everything. And scientists are saying to us that they've got it. They're telling us that this is the speed of the Sun, this is the speed of the Moon, and this is the orbit they are moving. All kinds of information the scientists have got us through their different instruments, telescopes and everything. And when we see all these kind of information we receive from them, like the information on the Moon, Mars and everything, what happens? We feel that we would like to have a desire to go there as well. And you will spend a lot of money for that and you'll start working for that. And this is how Maya traps us. She'll just like when small children, what does the mother do with them? To keep them entertained, she will play some game with the children, isn't it? And the children gets captivated with the game. Mother knows there is no fun in all these things. But she has to do that to keep the children occupied all time. All time occupied. So that he doesn't cry or the child doesn't go and get into trouble elsewhere. So we buy a lot of toys and give it to the child. And the child won't know how to use the toys. So what does the mother do? Mother will sit with the children and keep playing with the toys. For mother, there is no fun with all these toys. But the child find it very interesting. And this is the same relationship between Maya and us. Maya is saying, okay, I'll give you some toys for you to busy with. Take, there is Mars there, and there is Moon there, and there is Venus there. Go everywhere and find out what's going on there. And we, the children of Maya, busy with all these things. This is how Vedantam is telling us. Don't get cheated by Maya, basically. That is what the message is. So, and then when we start, and when we want too busy with these toys, what Maya has given us, thousands and thousands of scientists were born from that, from this Maya. Thousands of scientists were born from this Maya. And this scientist, then they are saying to the government everywhere, give us a lot of money so that we can play with these toys as long as we need to play. We want to enjoy such a nice thing. But after supplying so much money to them, the government also starts thinking, whole place is bankrupt. They don't have any money. No food to eat. Starving, there is always cyclone and floods and earthquakes and everything coming. So they say, now you wait for a minute, my children, to the Cape Canaveral activity comes to a quietness for some time. Why? Because they say, we don't have any funds anymore for your games, what you are playing with the Maya's games. Huh? So this is the world what we are living in. So what you can see here, they will say that once something is finished, Maya will say, there's something else you have to do now. And she will create another project for you. new project manager, new project engineers, no project director, and complete new project. New project. And there's plenty of space in the world to start new projects also. And the government says, another few billion we can give you, not more than that, a few billion dollars. And with that money, you have to continue with your shuttle program and all other kinds of programs. What else has it done at the end? All these programs. This is the way Maya works. When we don't understand Maya, we get caught up in that thing. So that is why, because it is like that, that's why those scientists in Switzerland, they gave the name to it as God particle. God particle, they were calling it, isn't it? So, and they are looking for this God particle outside. That's the problem. The God particle is inside. Instead of searching for the God particle inside, that's why I'm saying, where you are searching itself is the wrong place. You are searching for that God particle. Instead of searching him inside, you are searching him outside. So, even if one gets it outside, everybody won't get it, would it? Everybody won't get it. Suppose somebody has got it. And it can never be, everyone will have to individually search for that particle. It can never be a universal product. Suppose somebody has found out the God particle. Imagine. You think that you can give that God particle to everybody else? It won't be possible. Everyone has to find that God particle. All other scientific inventions, one person finds out, others can have it. Say, for example, mobile phone. Somebody developed that, the technology, and now everybody has got it. A dog has also got a mobile phone now. So it has come to so freely now available, isn't it? So in the same way, but God particle will be different. One who finds out the God particle will not be enough. Everybody will have to find the God particle. So that God particle, each one of us have to find within ourselves. Within ourselves. This is the difference between science and Vedanta. Science is saying to us that they will find out and then you can all have it. That's the way scientific discoveries are, isn't it? Therefore, we like it. Why? We don't have to put any effort. Somebody has to work for it. And if he gets the result, we all can share the result. But unfortunately, this in spiritual life, in Vedanta is telling us, you can't get the God particle. Nobody can give it to you. Each one of us have to find it within ourselves, that God particle. This is the problem. That's why so many jnanis, so many yogis, so many devotees have come to this world. They have all come and gone, and we are still as we are. Nothing has changed. Why is that? We couldn't get it out of them. They got it. Remember that verse in Kathopanishad? Kushalanu Shishta. Somebody has got it, he is very clever. And somebody else who is also very smart, who managed to get it from him, he is also clever. But who has not got it, he isn't very clever. And who has tried to get it and didn't get it, he is also not clever. So it is an individual thing. Spiritual life is an individual thing. This is why I am saying, when you think about institutions and all that, you have to look at this side also of the spiritual side. That spiritual realization can happen only within oneself. I won't become self-realized when after the whole ISKCON has become self-realized. That's not going to happen. That you can forget it. If you become self-realized, you can do something to others, help others, whichever little way possible, or you may inspire some other people in self-realization. It is the other way. Instead of institution can help you, you can help the institution, if an institution does exist. But institution is not going to do what you have to do yourself. Kevala anubhava anandam. What is he saying? Kevala anubhava anandam sarubam sarvabuddhidrik. Kevala anubhava anandam sarubam sarvabuddhidrik. It all has to happen on an individual level. Therefore, it is nice. Because it's like that. Because it's like that, it's good. So nobody can... That is why in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, Sudha Goswami said, what did he say? Ahaituki apratihata yenalma samprasidadi. Ahaituki. Nothing can stop in this world if you have decided to realize the truth. Nothing can stop you. Whether there is institution, no institution. Whether there is favorable situation, no favorable situation.
ahituki. It has no, nothing can stop you because it is your business. It's purely, it's your own individual intensity of inquiry. That is what makes that happen.
Ahituki apratihata. Apratihatam.
Apratihatam means there is no obstacles or there is no impediments in realizing the truth. Like Vasudev got it and he experienced it and he spoke. After this you will see Devaki got it, Devaki experienced it and Devaki spoke.
Ahiduki apratihata yenalma samprasidati.
And when you get it, you have got it and you will be satisfied with it.
Yenalma samprasidati.
Bhagavadam, every word is directed towards the soul, not anything else. Every single word in the Bhagavadam is directed towards the soul. Otherwise, Bhagavadam will not be taken seriously. Because of this specific characteristic of Bhagavadam, everything in the Bhagavadam is directed towards the soul.
Ahaiduki apratihada yena alma samprasidati.
Yena alma samprasidati. By which the soul is samprasidati. He feels the bliss. If that blissful experience of the soul happens in a person, on a mundane level, what do? We want to experience this world and we want to save the world. And after that, if I get self-realization, it's fine. That's how we think about it. But in practice, it's not that way. In practice, you realize the self first and then you share it with others. Like all the great devotees and jnanis have spoken. All the devotees and jnanis have spoken. That is the way it works. We like it this way, that the whole world gets it and we also get a piece of it. That's the way we want it. But spiritual life is not like that. You realize it first and then you share it with others what you have got. That's what he's saying here.
Kevalan bhavanandam.
And he says that kevalan vijitosi bhaval sakshal prakriti purushe param. Kevalanubhavanandam. So everything we have to see individually, we will have to find it out. Individually we have to find it out. Like Vasudev is saying here, Vidhidosi. See, look at Vasudev's words, it's a proof. Vidhidosi, I got it. He says, only Vasudev got it, nobody else got it at that time.
Vidhidosi, Vidhidosi, Bhavan Sakshal, Purusha Prakriti Param. Kevala anubhavanandam sarubam buddhi sarva buddhi drukkam.
That one verse, from that one verse comes all this. From that one verse comes all this understanding. Because it is Upanishad's knowledge is spoken, Vasudev realized it and Vasudev put it in a few words to Krishna. That's all. But the background of all that is that Bhagavad Gita's verses and the Vedantam is also, this principle is more important. Whether you may remember the words or not, that's another thing. But if you remember this principle of Vedantam, you have understood Krishna consciousness. Not the verses. Verses, forget about it. Verses are only to convey the message. Message is more important. Message is this, that unlike the science, Vedas are telling us, don't take notice of the world so seriously. Because that is our greatest handicap today in this modern world. News of the world, news, media, everything is hammering on to us about this world, isn't it? Outside world. From Los Angeles to Sydney, we have to know everything what goes on. How good is it? What good is it for us at the end, isn't it? What good is it for us at the end? In the past, say about 50, 60 years ago, when there was not so much communication facilities like today, we didn't know what happened in other places. How much, when we were children, we didn't know what was happening in America. We knew there was a land called America and so many things were going on in different parts of the world, in Africa, in Europe. We just knew about it. There was countries existed. But what happened? Never you knew. But now, every morning, what did they say? Every hour or something, they keep telling you what's going on throughout the world. And when the mind is so absorbed in all these things, where will this come? Vididosi Bhavan Sakshal. So this is the problem. Two different worlds, isn't it? Vasudev is inward, going inward and seeing on a much deeper level.
Vasudeva's time, there was no news of the world. He escaped from all this misery, what we have to go through. So that's the thing. So, so this Vishwam, this creation, this Pravancham, that how will this be revealed, the secret of this world? That is what he is saying here. You have to look at this. In Srimad Bhagavatam, you will notice, if you read Bhagavatam carefully, you will notice this. In Srimad Bhagavatam, Sukadeva Goswami will look for an opportunity to bring a glorification. He will bring the glorification, and through the glorification, and he will present the truth to us. He'll present the truth to us. This is how we have to see the Srimad Bhagavatam. Most of the people are thinking Srimad Bhagavatam is like a history, isn't it? Krishna came, Krishna was in the prison house. Then the demigods came by plane. They finished their glorification. They went back. Then Vasudeva and Devaki had glorified Krishna after that. We are more concerned about the sequence of that. Our mind goes like that, isn't it? Our mind thinks like that. But when you say these things, those things are not important. Whether Brahma came and glorified or not, that's not important. What's important is what Brahma spoke. That's important. This is how stuti, glorification, you have to understand. Only then spiritual life is at the moment. When you are hearing this, what you are experiencing inside, that is more important than what happened 5,000 years ago when Brahma came. That historical record is not the importance. You should not look at Bhagavatam like a historical thing. 5,000 years ago it happened and... No, Bhagavatam should be experienced right now, here. When we are hearing this, Vididosi Bhagavan Sakshal Prakrita Purushe Para Kevala Anubhavanandam Swarupam Sarva Buddhi Sarvadrik. These words, if it is experienced right now inside you, then you have got Srimad Bhagavatam in you. And that experience, if you are able to sustain standing in you for all time, then you have escaped from the world, from the Maya. Otherwise not. Whereas if you read the words, I've studied all the verses what Vasudeva has spoken, I memorized all that, and every morning I stood in front of Krishna and told him, Vididosi Bhavan Sakshal Prakrita Purushe Param Kevalanubhavanandam Swarupam Sarva Buddhidrik. If I say like this to Krishna, Krishna will think, I have just memorized the verses and he's coming and telling me all these things without any realization. But realization is more important. That realization should happen right at the moment when you hear these verses. When you hear these verses, do you not feel that difference the way the science is presenting things to us and Vedas are presenting things to us? Such a huge difference, isn't it? That science is telling us about the world. Vedas are telling us about the person who is experiencing the world. And how important that is. If you are convinced on that, that acceptance inside is more important. Acceptance of the truth is important, not practicing the truth. You can't get the truth by practicing something. You have to accept it. That is the most important thing. You see, most of us are trained in that way to think. Everything I will try, I will practice it, I will practice it, and one day the truth will come to me. By practicing in a particular sadhana, practicing sadhana. That's not how it is. Truth, very nature of the truth is how much you are willing to accept it. That acceptance inside is important because accepting is stopped by the mind inside. Mind inside. By Krishna's grace, if somehow or the other, if acceptance happens inside, what this one verse what Vasudeva spoken there, then you have understood, you have experienced Bhagavatam within yourself. So, somehow or the other, Sukadeva Goswami wants to get this message into our head. That's why he's brought all these glorifications. Whether Vasudeva glorified or not, immaterial. Whether Devaki glorified or not, immaterial. That is only for the history's sake it is spoken. What's important here is, whether they have glorified or not, how much does that matter to me now, today? How long did it take? 5 minutes or 10 minutes they took? And what has happened to Kamsa's servants who were standing outside? Did they not notice they were glorifying? All these things are, we leave that to the scientists. They can go. Or who are looking for people who are into such things, who wants to find out the order in which all this happened. And then to confirm whether Bhagavatam is correct or not. That is the way they analyze Bhagavad. They study Bhagavad Gita also in the same way. That's why they are like that. they end up like this. That's why we say that universities and all that, they are studying it in this pattern, in this pattern. I see sometimes, even among the youth, when they are taught Krishna consciousness, it's taught in that way. A big flip chart, and then seven multicolored pencils. And they are writing all the qualities there, one after the other, Krishna's quality. And one person is standing on the other side and turning the flip chart. And this person is standing like a scientist with a big, what is that thing called, you know, the point thing with the light on. And this is how they are teaching. Another subject like physics and chemistry. If you teach Shastram in this way, nothing will happen. Because you are trying to acquire with your mind and intelligence all these things and trying to memorize. And after it is all in your state, in your memory, then you say, you have got it, your thing. You have not got it yet. You only get it when you see that tattvam behind it. It is the tattvam that makes everything change, not your memory and intelligence. And that is how it is taught. You see that all the time. All the time it is taught like that in so many places. The Shastram is taught in this way. Shastram is only telling us, sit down and hear Shravanam. Only Shravanam is sufficient. Just by hearing, the change must happen inside. Otherwise, it's not Shastram or it's not Shravanam. Proper Shravanam has not happened. That's why it's saying like that. So, here you can see that when will you understand this? When will it go in? When we become mature. When we become mature. If not, till we become mature, you have to keep hearing. You have to keep hearing. Hearing the katha. And executing bhakti and chanting the holy name. In this way, we have to continue to purify inside. All these things, what it does says, it makes us matured to accept this truth. To accept the truth, what Sudeva Goswami is saying in the Srimad Bhagavatam. It will continuously keep us matured in that direction. Whenever it happens, whenever that realization happens, let it happen. That's all you can say about that. But what Vedavyasa Maharshi wanted to tell us is this message. So that is Bhagavata Darshanam. Bhagavata Darshanam. Yalmano Drishya Guneshu Sannidhi Vyavasyade Sevyadirekado Bhudaha Vinanuvadam Jatanmanishidam Samyak Samyak Tadastyaktam Upadadad Puman Upadadad Puman. So, if you keep me separate away from all these things and you try to see that there is an object separately existing, Drishya Padartham or Drishya Prabhanjam or the creation, if it exists, you can bring any amount of theories arguing that all these things exist. And to prove that, you can bring the theories also. But the person who is seeing all these things, experiencing it, or knowing about it, if you keep him away, if you keep him away from all these things, and you say that this exists, if you say like that, the word used is Najadan Manishidam. He says here, see that? Vena anuvadam najadan manishidam. Vasudev is saying, Krishna's father is telling us that vina anuvadam najadan manishidam. Manishi means what? Manishi is intelligence. Najadan manishidam. He has no brain. Vasudev is saying that if you keep the person who is seeing everything, you keep him out, and you keep arguing about the existence of all the other things, then vinanuvadanja najadan manishidam. Vinanuvadam najadan manishidam. He says here. That is the height of ignorance, he says. Height of ignorance. Height of ignorance. You won't get it. You will never get it, he says. You will never experience it. You will never experience. Because this creation is existing in Krishna. Creation is existing in Krishna. And creation is existing in Krishna, it has come up in Krishna, and it will eventually dissolve in Krishna. It will eventually dissolve in Krishna. You see, we saw this before, didn't we? Where did we see that? We saw it in the, where? In the Chadushlogi. Krishna said that, isn't it? Ahameva sameva agre nanyadyal sadasal param Pashadaham yadeda cha yovashashyeda sosmeham.
It's only me who exists, the soul. And in this soul, everything else is happening. Everything else is happening. And the same knowledge of that Chatushloki, which is Upanishad's knowledge, has come back here again if you look at the verse 14. Sa eva sa prakrityedam srishtu agre trigunalmagam tadyajnyutvam hya pravishta pravishtam iva bhavyase. That verse is same Chatushloki verse. Do you remember? Chatushloki verse. Avishtam apravishtam cha. If you look into the second canto, you will see there is a verse in the second canto. What does this verse say? So, second canto. In the 9th chapter, Chatushloki Bhagavatam, if you look, 9th chapter, verse number 34, the 4th verse of the Chatushloki, it says, Yadha mahanti bhutani udesho uchavajeshvanu pravishtani apravishtani tathateshu nateshvaham. We saw that verse when we discussed Chatushloki Bhagavatam earlier, isn't it? Yadha mahanti bhutani Mahabhutam, Panchamahabhutam, the five material elements, then they are seen in different forms after creation. And they are addressed as Pravishtam and Apravishtam. Pravishtam and Apravishtam. That means somewhere you will see when the five material elements manifested in this world. Somewhere it is called Pravishtam, somewhere it is called Apravishtam. Apravishtam, Pravishtam means Pravishtam means where you can see Krishna's presence, like all the material bodies, like us. You can see Krishna's presence there, isn't it? Through Krishna's presence, we see everyone in this world, every living entity where there is life, you see the Krishna's presence in them, that life inside that person, isn't it? That's Pravishtam. Apravishtam means somewhere dead matter in the form of brick, mortar, and all different elements as they are. That's apravishtam. So both cases, pravishtani apravishtani tatha teshu na teshu aham. So Krishna is experienced as in all living entities, either experienced by the senses, like the way we see, or as though they are not, Krishna is not present. Like when we see something, dead matter, this mic for example, we say Krishna is not present in that. Looks like dead matter. For us it's matter, isn't it? So that experience, that's what he's saying. And that same verse you can see here, that Vasudev is saying, Sa eva suprakrityebhyam srishtu agre trigunalmagam tadanitvam hya pravishta pravishtam eva bhavyase. Again, the same thing. Tadanitvam hya pravishta. So that it appears as though tadanatvam hya pravishta pravishtam iva bhavyase, that you have entered into it, everything into the creation, but appears though as though you have not entered into it, as though you have not entered into it, and you are remaining aloof from everything, remaining aloof from everything. This is all the way it's all happened through Maya's support. Maya is behind all these things. So Krishna and Maya cooperates very well and creates this situation in front of all of us. Ye almano so vinanuvadam jatanmani ishidam samyak tadastyaktam upadadat puman. So that's where it is coming from. So this, so basically what Vasudeva is saying to Krishna, that anyone who thinks that this world can exist without Krishna is a not a very intelligent person, because he will never get to know the truth. He will never get to know the truth. It is in Krishna, this has manifested in Krishna. And it is support, it is living in Krishna. And it will eventually dissolve in Krishna. That is only then that Chatushogi Bhagavatam verse will become correct. Isn't it? Ahameva asameva agre. It's all spoken from the platform of the soul. Ahameva asameva agre. Nanya dil sadasal param. Pashadaham yadedacha. Yovashusheda sosmeham. Krishna is saying, initially only me existed. What does that mean? Initially only the spirit was there. Only the spirit, soul, Atma was present. And at the end also, only Atma exists. Only Atma exists. When Krishna says, I exist means Atma exists. Krishna says in the beginning, I existed means Atma existed. Soul existed. And from in the beginning only Krishna existed. In the end also only Krishna exists. But whatever you see in between, appears and disappears, appears and disappears. Therefore, they have no existence. The only real existence, what existed in the beginning or what existed at the end, only exists in the middle also. This is the Vedantam. Vedantam theory is like that. So, there is no reality to anything that has existed in between. What has existed in the beginning and what has existed at the end only exists in the middle also. Nothing new can happen. You see, that's how you have to see it. That's why ahameva asameva agre nanyadil sadasal param paschadaham yadedacha yovashishyeda sosmiham. In the beginning I was there, in the end I was there. In the middle also only me existed. That is Krishna's point. Only Krishna's point is like that. In the beginning only I was existing. In the end also I only existing. Therefore in the middle also it's me only who existed. These are the principles of Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita also exactly repeats the same thing. Another form in the 10th chapter. So, here, this whatever that has manifested in between the beginning and the end, whatever that manifests, that all that manifests, the source is Krishna. The source is Krishna. And similarly, in all of us, that Krishna is present as the source of hearing also. So who is sitting inside each one of us, hearing and speaking, all of that is Krishna. That is the Krishna's words. It is spoken in the Kenobanishad. If you look into the Kenobanishad, you will see there this statement. Ishakena katha prasna munda mandukya taithiri. That Kanopanishad is mentioning this in this way. That Kanopanishad is saying that it's also another important Upanishad like the Kathopanishad. It is that verse from Kanopanishad Vasudeva spoken here. Om keneshidam padadi preshidam manaha kena pranaha pradhamaha praidi yuktaha keneshidam vajamimam vadandi chakshushrotram ka o devo yunakti. Om keneshidam padadi yoshidam manaha kena pranaha pradhamaha praidi yuktaha keneshidam vajamimam vadandi chakshu shrotram ka udevo yunakti. All these Upanishads you can download them nowadays. You don't have to even buy them. Most of them are on many websites available if you want to read them. It says, will by whom does the directed mind go towards its object? Keneshidam padadi preshidam mana. How come our mind gets attracted to one particular object? The rishi is asking, sage is asking. How is that? Your mind is getting attracted to some particular object. Why? Keneshidam padadi preshidam mana. By inspired by whom? Directed by whom? Then, kena prana prathama paindi yuktaha. How come each one of us feel
a desire to fulfill our duties in this world. Where is that? Which is the source? Where it's coming from?
Kena pranaha prathamaha praidhi yuktaha.
Where is that source? Where this desire to fulfill a particular duty is coming from?
And keneshidam vacham imam vadanti. Keneshidam vacham imam vadanti. By whom is this speech is manifesting through us and develop that will in us to speak something?
From where is that source? Where is it coming from?
Chakshushrotram ka udevo yunakti. And who is that person inside who is directing these eyes and the ears?
Who is directing it? This is the Rishi is asking us in the Kena Upanishad.
And that is what it is coming here, that Rishi is asking that how the mind is going outward and doing all these things. How do you see with the eyes? How do you hear with the ears? And how does the pranan comes out through the body in the form of action? Through arm, hands and legs. How does it manifest? And who is responsible for all these things? And what is the answer? That whatever you see with your eyes, that is not the truth. That's not Brahman. Whatever, but by whose presence your eyes are able to see, that is Brahman. Same way, what you see is not Brahman in one sense. When you understand Brahman, you have to understand it this way first. Eventually everything is Brahman. That is how. First you deny all these things, deny all the matter. What you see is not Brahman. But what then what? The power inside you who has allowed you to see and able to see something, that power is Brahman. That power is Brahman. Similarly, what you hear with the ear is not Brahman. But one who is sitting inside you and hearing everything, that is Brahman. That is Brahman. It's not difficult if you keep your intelligence away from all these things. If when you put the intelligence into it, all this problem comes. Then intelligence will tell you who is sitting inside, there's nobody sitting there. If you ask like that, there's no answer to that. But Upanishad's language is like that. Upanishads will say to us that what you are seeing is not important. Who is sitting inside is giving you this power to see. That's important. Take notice of him. Exactly like we said before. Similarly, when you hear something, what you hear is not important. Who is hearing inside you, who is giving that power to hear, that's important. Then that is Brahman, he says. And Vedam yaditam upasate. Vedam yaditam upasade. It's the Upanishad words. Vedam yaditam upasade. That what you are considered thinking as Brahman and you are performing upasana, that is not Brahman. But who is performing that upasana, in him Brahman is staying there. In him Brahman is there. You see, so many things we do in spiritual life, isn't it? So many things we do in spiritual life. The problem is, initially, because the mind has gone so far away from the truth, we have to start somewhere. We have to start somewhere. It's at that point when we do all kinds of things in this world, somehow or the other, to get attention inwards. Eventually, after executing sadhana for a long time, some point in time, a thought will develop inside, who is executing the sadhana? Who is doing all these things? At the moment, I am so sure about myself. I am thinking, I am doing it. But if ever at some point in time, your attention moves away from the object of your sadhana to the attention who is doing the sadhana, then you have moved closer to the truth. That is self-realization. It is amazing thing, isn't it? We all say we want to realize the truth, go back to Krishna, go back to spiritual world again. But we ourselves don't know who we are. We don't know who we are. Yesterday, you know, in the website, BBC, they put sometimes some interesting thoughts. They write it there. It's some thought for the day like thing. One of them was saying like that. These people, he says, they don't know what they are living in this world for. People do not know what for they are living in this world. And they are planning for another life after death. I thought it was very, really funny thing to say. They don't even know. They got one life here.
They don't know what to do with this life. They're confused about that. And they're thinking about another life, what they should be doing after leaving this body. It looks hilarious, isn't it? Right, this life, we haven't got a clue what to do with it. Here itself, there is so much confusion about this life. It's not sure what we should be doing. So much confusion. And then we are planning, at least after that, there will be a good life for me. Is there anything more foolish than that? Think about that. I mean, when you analyze yourself, right now Krishna has given us a life here. We don't know what to do with it. So much confusion. Sometimes we do this, sometimes we do that. We are not very clear in our own head what we are living for, or no clear perception. So much confusion. Sometimes we think, oh, we have to look after the body, look after the family, look after the society, and all kinds of illusions in between. Because if you are completely focused on self-realization, then it's fine. But who is focused in self-realization in this world? Yes, we got a life here, Krishna has given us. And this life, we have no clear idea what we have to do. And then we are thinking about the next life. That, oh, what shall we be doing when I get to the next? There also the same confusion will follow there. When we get there, we'll think, what shall I do now? Here. So it's confusion all the way through, everywhere, isn't it? So that's what it is mentions like that. So here, so that aham asmi, all these problems. So, when, by whose presence the mind is moving, that is the truth. That is the Brahman. Therefore, this creation, sustenance, dissolution, all these things are experienced by the mind. All these things are experienced by the mind. In Brahman, the truth, when there is three modes of nature is working, sattugunam, rajogunam, tamogunam, when these things are happening, nothing happens to Brahman, It is superimposed on Brahman. And at that time, we are doing different transactions, we are seeing this world, but if you want to get the truth behind all these things, right now, you have to start thinking about this, who is seeing and who is experiencing, and aham, who is that? Vididosi bhavan sashal prakriti purushaparam. Like Vasudeva is saying, Kevalanubhavanandam, Buddhist, Kevalanubhavanandam, Swarubam, Bhavananda Swarubam, Sarva Buddhidrakka. Attention should go towards the soul. There is no other way. Till that attention goes towards the soul, that is when you really become serious about spiritual life. Otherwise, you are not. Otherwise, we are doing so many things what we were told to do. Isn't it? We were told to do. Do this, so many things we were told to do, we are doing it. But the purpose of all these things, if you do all these things, what will happen is, one day, the attention will go from, rather than doing, to the person who is doing it. Who is the person who is doing all these things? That is when we start really getting absorbed in spiritual life. Attention, that means your attraction for the world will go, and attention will fall on the soul. Now, it remains as a theoretical exercise all the time, isn't it? Simply a theoretical exercise. Why? Attention has not fallen on the soul yet. That is why. And that, so, whenever, if that attention falls on the soul, and if you give some importance to it, that will take us further in the spiritual life. It does not matter. We have so many sampradayams in this world, isn't it? So, Advaita sampradayam, Dvaita sampradayam, Vishishta Dvaita sampradayam, and then Kevala Dvaita sampradayam. Different acharyas have brought different sampradayam in different ways, isn't it? Then we have got Shaiva sampradayam, Vaishnava sampradayam. Sampradayams are all there. All these sampradayams are only there to bring you to this point, to the attention on the soul. That is why they have come up like that. There is no contradiction between one and the other. Unfortunately, in the early stages, when you come to spiritual life, you start thinking your sampradayam is the only one bona fide. All other sampradayams are bogus. And you will start thinking only through this you can come to that. It is not. It is not like that. If that is the case, Vedantam, we can say goodbye right now. It doesn't mean anything. Vedanta sampradayam, all these sampradayams are bona fide. Advaitam, Dvaitam, Vishishtadvaitam, and Ajindya Veda Vedam. Different acharyas have put it to us in different ways. But all the acharyas will agree on one thing. What is that? Kevala anubhava anandam. Experience that person who is experiencing this world. They all want to take us to that point. To understand who is experiencing. Because all of us are in the same boat. What is that? We only know the world where we live. And only the world we understand. And only the world is reality for us. When we are in that state, we have to be educated by the acharyas. So they come at different times and present the truth in a particular way to suit at that particular condition, at the particular conditions. And they will tell you that follow this route, and eventually when you are perfect, once your attention has fallen on the soul, then all sampradayams you can say goodbye. What sampradayam then? Sampradayam is because you got the truth in your hand, right? Like a sweet in the hand, you got it. Then where is the importance of sampradayam there? Sampradayam and all, don't take it like a material institution. It's only there to help you to get to the point of realizing the self. They all acharya, whether it is Shankaracharya, Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, Vishnu Swami, Nimbarkacharya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all of them agree on one thing. What is that? Realizing who we are is the goal first. After that, what happens in bhakti, according to your relationship with Krishna, in any of the different mellows, whether you want to see the truth as Krishna and relate with Krishna, according to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Achindya Veda Vedam, or with Narayana and Lakshmi in the Vaikuntham, you can relate with him in that way, or Madhvacharya's based on the Dvaitam, that can also operate in that way. All these varieties has come only up to this point. Till you know, get to know who you are. Once you have known, like Vasudeva's experience, self-realization, that is why he is saying like this, Vididosi Bhavans, I got it, he says, I understood now. Understood means he is not speaking from the platform of the mind, he is speaking from realization, he is saying, not from the mind. Not that he has understood something, he studied the verse and he understood that, no. Vididosi, that's why that word used, Vididosi, Vididosi bhavan sakshal prakrita purushe param kevala anubhava anandam. He is experiencing everything in relationship with the soul. Sarubam buddhi sarva buddhi drikka sarva buddhi drikka. So in that verse he has spoken the realization. We'll have a few minutes break and then we'll continue after that. All right. Vasudeva uvacham विदितोसि भवान् साक्षात् पुरुष प्रकृते पराहं केवलानुभवानन्दस्वरूप सर्वबुद्धिदृक् स एव स्वप्रकृत्येदं सृष्ट्वा अग्रे त्रिगुणात्मकं तदनु त्वं ह प्रविष्ट प्रविष्टमिव भाव्यसे यथमे अविकृताभावा तथा दैविकृते सह नानावीर्यप्रदभूता विराजं जनयन्ति हि सन्निपत्या समुल्पाद्यं दृश्यन्ते अनुगदा इव प्रागेव विद्यमानत्वात् न तेषामिह संभवाः एवं भवान् बुद्ध्यनिमेयलक्षणैर्ग्राह्यैर्गुणैः सन्नपि तल्गुणाग्रह अनावृतत्वात् बहिरन्तरं न ते सर्वस्य सर्वात्मन आत्मवस्तुना य आत्मनो दृश्यगुणेषु सन्निधि व्यवस्यते स व्यतिरेकतोऽभुताः विनानुवादं न च तन्मनीषिदं सम्यक् ददस्त्यक्तमुपाददत् पुमान् त्वत्त्वोऽस्य जन्मस्थितिसंयमान् विभो वदन्त्यनीहादगुणादविक्रियात् त्वयीश्वरे ब्रह्मणिनो विरुध्यते त्वदाश्रयात् उपचर्यते गुणैः सत्त्वं त्रिलोकस्थितये सुमायया बिभर्षि शुक्लं खलु वर्णमात्मना सर्गाय रक्तं रजसोपब्रह्मिदं कृष्णं च वर्णं तमसा जनाते त्वमस्य लोकस्य विभोरिरक्षिषोर्गृहेऽवतीर्णोऽसि ममाखिलेश्वर राजन्यसंज्ञासुरकोटियूतभैर्निर्विह्यमानानिहनिष्यसे च मूम् अयं तु सभ्यस्तव जन्मनौ गृहे श्रुत्वाग्रजांस्ते न्यवदीत् सुरेश्वर स देवदारं पुरुषैः समर्पितं श्रुत्वाधुनैवाभि सरत्युधायुधाम् दट् इस् आल् वसुदेव्स् प्रेयर्स् वसुदेव्स् प्रेयर्स् सो वि हव् सीन् बिफोर् that the experience of the realization of the soul, is more important. Because after that, all what happens is, up to that point, we can talk about our processes, different sampradayams and everything. Because everybody will speak according to their
realization, you will speak these things. That is all the difference is. But to catch hold of that, and you can experience it and relish it also in the same way. That is all based on the Anubhava Mandalam. Anubhava Mandalam means one's own plane of experience. One's own plane of experience. And the same verse says, you can also present it in another way, according to their experiences. Also, the same verses. So, there will be different stages of realization. So, accordingly, the verses, that is why you will find in the different Acharya's commentaries, the same verses spoken in different ways, according to their own understanding of that. That we have to accommodate within ourselves. What is appealing to you, take that, whatever you have understood from this. But message is practically the same. And there will be differences in from the level of experience they are looking at it. So, so this vastu sthiti, this state of affairs, and some people may not find it very interesting, all these things. It may not be very, very interesting. So that will depend on the process they are following and on the way they are approaching the truth. And we have no quarrel with anybody on this. We have no quarrel with anybody. Gaudapada Acharya says about this. So, Siddhanta Vyavasthasu Dvaidino Nishchidadranam Parasparam Virudhyadhe Nairayam Na Virudhyadhe. So, Siddhanta Vyavasthasu. For example, one person creates one Siddhantam. One Siddhantam. Say Advaita Siddhantam or Dvaita Siddhantam. Whatever. They are all Siddhantams actually. So, Siddhanta Vyavasthasu Dvaidino Nishchidadranam. That sometimes there is quarrel among the followers. But have you noticed the Acharyas never quarrel each other? They never had to quarrel each other about it. They didn't say anything about other Siddhantams in any way, criticizing them for that. Because that avastha that in which they were speaking that is peculiar to that Acharya who has spoken from that plane. From that plane he has spoken like that. From that plane he has spoken like that. If you look into other Bhagavad Gita's also, you will see that in support of the commentary of particular verses, Prabhupada and many other Acharyas also, they have picked up the supporting verses from Shankaracharya, Ramanujacharya. Sometimes you will see Prabhupada says, Ramanujacharya has spoken like this. Sometimes you will see Shankaracharya has spoken like this. Why? Because there is no Siddhantam, there is no, this is not a competition thing or quarrel between each other. Parasparam, but sometimes in a lower level, people will quarrel over all these things. In a lower level, they'll be quarreling over, that's all it is. And these Acharyas have spoken the truth from the plane in which from they are seeing the truth. From which they are seeing the truth. That is all it is. That's all it is. From different levels they are seeing. But they're all telling us one thing. Realize who you are, the person who is experiencing all these things. And after that, what happens? That's between yourself and Krishna. That you can sort out at that time. You shouldn't quarrel over that today here, about that issues. So, whole this world, what today, what we are seeing as a world, if it ends up in this realization, Ahamasmi, that I am, awareness of me, that it is the, and it is Adhyarobam. Adhyarobam means, in my existence as me, as I am, in there the world exists. The world exists in that, isn't it? If I'm not there, the world is not there. I am means that awareness in me. So just like in the Bhagavadam philosophy, in Bhagavadam what they say is the example, just like you superimpose the snake on the rope. Superimpose the snake on the rope. Raju Sarpanyayam, it is called. Similarly, in this experience of me, my awareness, I have superimposed the mind and the creation, everything, and I am experiencing this world. That's what is happening. In me, my identity as the spirit soul, and their pure awareness, I have imposed this mind and the world, and I am experiencing all this world in that, in my presence. But where is his all experience? Who cannot understand this? So, just like now, you are experiencing that I am speaking here. But
Where is that happening? That's all happening on my experience of myself presence here. My presence is here in me, which I am experiencing, and it is imposed on that your experience of my speaking here. Do you get that point? That I am speaking, sitting here, I am speaking, and I have that awareness of me speaking here, what I am speaking, whatever it may be, and I am existing here, and that is truth for me. That is truth for me. But you are experiencing this, what you are experiencing is not reality for me. All I am experiencing is my own, what localized it is within me. What I am speaking, I am experiencing. But what you are experiencing is your experience. It's not my experience. That is not the truth for me. Similarly, that pure experience inside me, that is what Vasudeva is calling it as Kevala Anubhavam. Kevala Anubhavam. So that Kevala Anubhavam, in that experience, mind popped up. The mind has popped up. And in that Kevala Anubhavam, beyond than that, the duality has come. The duality has come. So Ahamasmi, that is the Kevala Anubhavam. Ahamasmi is the Kevala Anubhavam. In there, many other experiences, if you start imposing on that, that is the Dvaita Anubhavam. So just like this, in the Sushupti state, in the deep sleep state, there is a existence for us where nothing exists, isn't it? In Sushupti state, the world is not existing. You are not conscious of anything in this creation, are you? You don't know whether the war is going on in Afghanistan, whether the war is going on in Libya, or whatever is happening. And when you are in deep sleep state, Mangalarati is going on in Los Angeles. When you are in deep sleep, Mangalarati is going on there. The time difference, isn't it? So many things what is happening in this world. In deep sleep state, you are not aware of that. Because why? You are covered with that blanket of ignorance. Thick blanket, which is covered very well in ignorance. So, in the same way, in the dream state, so many experiences you are going through. Suppose I experience this classroom in the dream state. I will experience as though I am speaking. And I will see myself speaking in the dream. And I will also see the room. I will also see the everybody who is present here. And why is, and that is why it is called Pratibhasikam. Pratibhasikam means apparent reality. Apparent reality. You remember we talked about four kinds of truth. Absolute truth, Paramartha Satyam, then Pratibhasika Satyam, which you experience, which the soul creates in the dream, that is called Pratibhasikam. Pratibhasikam means in the dream you have to create everything, only then you can experience it, isn't it? You have to create it first. Who is creating? You are creating. Just like when you go into the dream state, what happens there? You are, everything what you had in your inside, in the dream, in the mind, you create that world there through the mind, isn't it? You create yourself first, and then standing outside all that, you are watching everything. I am standing separately and watching this classroom, me speaking, you are listening, all these things I am watching separately. Is it not truth if you ask? Yes, it is the truth. It is the truth in that state, it is the truth. For that state, it is the truth. And therefore it's called Pratibhasikam. Pratibhasikam it is. Pratibhasam it is. Some kind of a reflection it is of the truth. Isn't it? Pratibhasikam. So Satyam, Paramartha Satyam, Absolute Truth. Pratibhasya Satyam experience in the dream. And then what else? Vaivahariyam. Vaivahariyam means in the transactions in this world. That's also a truth as long as the world exists. Suppose I have borrowed some £500 from Barclays Bank. And say tomorrow I'm dead and I promise Barclays I'll pay you back in 10 days time. I'm dead, gone. So as far as Barclays is concerned, they have lost the money. Isn't it? So Barclays cannot sue me after that for the money, can they? They can't. Why? It is a vaivaharikam. It's only a vaivaharika satyam. It's not truth. I've not signed a, even if I sign a document, it is vaivaharika satyam. It's not paramarthikam. Even if you sign a document, it is not paramarthikam, it is vaivaharikam. I promised Barclays I'll pay you back in 10 days and signed a document. That document also has only that much value so long as I am there. Me, the inside person, if he's there. So person is more important, not the document what I have signed. Barclays should be more concerned about my being there rather than the document signing. The document, what good is it if I'm gone? The document, they can put it in the bin. Is it not? So that is how it is. Satyam is like that. That is why it's spoken here that the we will see everything in that dream state also. And in Jagrat state, what's happening is you are seeing me with your eyes and you are seeing me, isn't it? In a gross level, very gross level, you are seeing me. And also what I am seeing myself in that gross form, I am speaking and experiencing this body as well and the mind also. But in the dream, the deep sleep state, what's happening? That thick cover which covers everything so strongly, and avidya, that is called avidya. Then, and all these three things in pure prajna, pure consciousness, shuddha prajna, it is happening, all these things in pure consciousness. If you can reflect, you will get an understanding of this, that these three states, Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti, is happening in pure consciousness. It is three states are coming and going based on the modes of nature. Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti. In a subtle level, you have to accept it. Otherwise, there is no other way. It cannot be experienced through the senses, you see. These things cannot be experienced through the senses. You just have to accept it. In pure consciousness, which is our prajna. Prajna is the pure consciousness. In that pure consciousness, these three states are coming and going, coming and going. And you can see the impact of these three states on the pure prajna, pure consciousness. In these three states, in Jagrat state, I'm experiencing in a very gross level everything. Very gross level. And in the dream state, a little subtle level, but it is also not the truth. Why? Because there also I have created that truth myself and I am standing separately from that and watching that what is going on in the dream state. Yeah? And when you go into the deep sleep state, everything is covered up very strongly, very, very, very a thick cover you have put on top of everything and not able to see anything, neither the mind nor intelligence nor the senses nor the world. Everything is covered up and you are forced to stay inside the soul, and you are experiencing that bliss, which when you come out of it, you're saying, oh, it was a great time. But all these three states, Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti, waking state, dream state, and the deep sleep, is all happening in the background of that pure consciousness. Pure consciousness is behind that, Ahamasmi, and that is where it's happening. And what Prahlad is saying to us is, that pure consciousness is available to everybody all the time. It's always there. It's not something you have to go and look for in the world outside. It's always there. All that you have to do is to get out of these three states, or get out of the three material nature, modes of material nature. You can see the connection between the modes of material nature and the three states, isn't it? Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti is Sattvam, Rajat, Tama, Gunair. Buddhi na chalpana. Krishna made it very clear, isn't it? Sattvam rajastama idi gunam buddhe. All it is happening is the intelligence and the mind and the body. It is happening. Na chalpana means not in the pure consciousness. That's how, whenever Krishna, sometimes these words are all exchanged. Alma, soul, pure consciousness. All this, in substance, they are all one and the same. It's spoken in a different way. If you look into Bhagavatam, Prahlada says that. Prahlada is saying that this pure consciousness is in everyone. Then why are you searching for the soul outside? Why are you searching for the soul outside? If you look into the 7th canto, you will see this. 7th canto, 6th chapter, verse 22. Ahem.
ప్రహ్లాదవాచం. ప్రహ్లాద సైస్ ప్రత్యగాత్మస్వరూపేణ దృశ్యరూపేణ జ స్వయం వ్యాపవ్య అవ్యాపక వ్యాప్యవ్యాపక నిర్దేశో అనిర్దేశో వికల్పితాః కేవలానుభవానందం స్వరూప పరమేశ్వర మాయయాంతర్హితైశ్వర్య ఈయదే గుణసర్గయ తస్మాత్ సర్వేషు భూతేషు దయాం కురుద సౌహృదం ఆసురం భావం ఉన్ముచ్య యయా తుష్యతి అథోక్షజాః.
Is there any devotee as good as Prahlad in this world? Although appeared in the Hiranyakashipu's son, such a great personality, Prahlada. And you see the words what Prahlada has used, exactly the same Vasudeva is using. Have you noticed that? He says here, Kevala, verse 23. Verse 23, you look. Kevala anubhavananda swarupam parameshwara. And what is he says here? Kevala anubhavananda swarupa sarva buddhi drukka. What Prahlada is using is not different from what Vasudeva is using. Same words he is using there. You can see how all Shastram is spoken by different persons, that's all. Shastram cannot change. Shastram remains the same. He says here, Pratyagatma Sarubena Drishya Rubena Jaswayam Vyapya Avyapaka Nardeshyo Vyapya Vyapaka Nardeshyo Anirdeshyo Avigalpidaha కేవలానుభవానంద స్వరూప పరమేశ్వర మాయాంతర్హితైశ్వర్య ఈయదే గుణసర్గయ తస్మాత్ సర్వేషు భూతేషు దయాం కురుద సౌహృదం ఆసురం భావోన్మిచ్య యయా తుష్యతి అధోక్షజాః. వెరీ ఇంపార్టెంట్ వర్డ్స్. ప్రహ్లాదస్ ఇన్స్ట్రక్షన్స్ టు హిస్ ఓన్ గాడ్ బ్రదర్స్, హిస్ ఓన్ క్లాస్మేట్స్, ఈస్ టెలింగ్ దమ్ దట్ పరావరేషు భూతేషు ఫ్రమ్ ది non-moving thing, from the non-moving thing right up to Brahma, in all the living entities, all the living entities, and in all the material elements, Panchabhutam, three modes of material nature, Pradhanam, Mahatattvam, everywhere, up to all of them, that soul which is not affected by anything, and all the same time, he is Satya Chittana Anandam, is full of bliss and full of knowledge. That awareness Krishna, Prahlad is talking about. And Krishna, and he creates everything. And using this Maya, he keeps, his presence is not revealed to the world. Maya is a coverage by which he stays away from us. After creating everything, he used Maya to keep put a curtain between us and him, the soul, between him, us and the soul. And what happens is there, and then in the form of drishyam and drishtava, what does that mean? Drishyam is what you see. Drishtava is who is seeing. So he himself has done all these things, and what has he done? He made into two positions. He is present there as drishyam, and he is present inside us as drashtava, who is seeing it. He stays two different ways. He is the seer and he is the seen also. So you will notice one interesting thing. Prahlada's statements are very interesting sometimes if you think about it. In all other religions, they start at one point. You know what that point is? For them, any religion if you take in this world, three things they will talk to you. What is it? First, you exist. Then the world exists, and then the God exists. Jiva, Jagat, Ishvara. This is how all religions are based, isn't it? Different religions in this world, they'll tell you about you, they'll tell you about the world, and they'll tell you about God. Jiva, Ishvara, and Jagat. Three things, isn't it? Vedantam is telling us, Jiva, Ishvara, Jagat don't exist separately. They're all one. That is higher understanding. This is what Prabhupada said, that we have no quarrel with other religions, other processes. If you want an advanced understanding of religious spiritual life, you have to take it from the Vedic literature. This is how he spoke about. He didn't say that any other religious scriptures are wrong. They are not wrong. They are right. In that particular level, it's correct. But when you come to higher understanding, you'll notice he said that Jiva Ishvara Jagat. Jiva is living entity. Ishvara is God. And Jagat is the world. All other scriptures will remain in that state talking about that. These three things. When they all become and understand there is only one thing existing, this pure consciousness, then you can see that pure consciousness has split into these three, Jiva, Ishvara and Jagat, in three. And that is why in Vedantam it is called Tripudi. Tripudi, if Tripudi goes, then you got the truth. This Tripudi, misunderstanding, these three things are misunderstanding. That's what Vedantam is saying to us. These three separate things existing. And this is why in the beginning of spiritual life, we need these three. When we start spiritual life, we need these three things. We need a world to fight with. We need a God to complain. And we need somebody ourselves to always feel our pride and ego to satisfy ahankaram inside. So we need all the three in the beginning. Ahankaram is necessary because you have this strong conviction that you are doing everything. Therefore, ahankaram is necessary. And in order that the ahankaram to feel that satisfaction, you need a world to act. And when you get a lot of kicks from the world, you need a God to complain. Isn't it? When the world is giving you everything what you want, then you won't even bother about him there. You will even question, does he exist or not? So this is all this relationship is, Jagat, Ishvara, Jiva. This relationship is all so temporary. It's all in the state where you are looking at it. That's how it is. But when you study all religious processes, they'll keep hammering this to your head all the time. God is there. He's watching you. Keep an eye on him. Be careful what you're doing. He's frightening you. That is what Krishna said in the beginning, that if you're frightened about God, and if you're frightened about that he's watching you and waiting there with the hammer to bang you on head, then I'm sorry, he says. Krishna says, I'm very sorry. He said, you will live like this for the rest of the life. Yavat sal asudandratvam tavat ishwarado bhayam. You have to be frightened of God. You have to be frightened of God. Actually, only God exists. Nothing else exists. It's all in between. All this maya is going on like this. Ishvara, Jiva, Jagat and all that. But actually, strictly speaking, only Krishna exists. That pure consciousness exists. That is the important point. So what he said here was, he says here, the same person is present as Jiva inside, Pratyagatma. And the same person is present outside also, Drishya Prapancham, as the world. Prahlada is telling us this. Prahlada is telling us this. Prahlada says, he is present in you as Pratyagatma, he is present outside as the... Okay, the word used as different. That may be little difference according to the situation. Pratyagatma swarupena, Drishya Rupena ja Swayam. Both as Pratyagatma inside and Drishya Rupam outside, Vyabhavyabhak anirdesho, anirdesho avigalpidaham. Vyabhavyabhak anirdesham. That is present in everything. That in the help of Maya, he has covered his own form, his own who he is. That awareness has covered itself and not revealing itself. So therefore, he says, tasmal, therefore, sarveshu bhudeshu, in all other living entities, Dayam kuridasau hridam. Always be kind and merciful to all other living entities. Because it is like that. Once you know who is present in all living entities, where is the question of feeling any ill will or unhappiness or anger or hate towards anybody else. Also, you can see the problem is not anger or anything, is ajnanam. Ignorance in a person is the problem. It is from ignorance all other emotions develop on top of that. On the top of that. Just like you can see that a person in Norway went and shot some 80-90 people. And he seems to have completely convinced that what he was doing was the right thing. Now, you can only say this much, that he started his spiritual life at a much later stage in the from where he should have begun. If he had thought a little bit more deeper inward and thought that all other living entities in this world also has come from the same source as where he has come from, there would have been no feeling towards these differences. The differences have happened after the mind has joined the soul, not before than that. So when we have identified with the soul, then these differences have no meaning. You see, all of these religious processes present in the world today started by someone, isn't it? Somebody has started. And they will declare their allegiance to the person who started that. See, only what he says is correct, they will say. Vedantam will never say like that. This is the beauty of Vedantam. And it is acceptable to everyone. If he has some rational thinking, he can accept it. Vedantam is not saying this was started by one person, because there is only one thing that exists. That is Krishna, the soul, present in everyone. And from him everything else has come. Janmadhyasayataha. So therefore, where is the necessity to quarrel or fight with each other? Fight with each other. Different name, different forms, it has come. Different names and different forms we are seeing when we are on the platform of the senses, but not in the platform of the soul. So that is what it is saying here. Tasmal sarveshu bhuteshu dayam kurda sauhradam asuryam bhavam unmichya. And if we keep maintaining that bodily identity, if you keep maintaining that bodily identity that I am a Christian, I am a Muslim, I am a Hindu, I am a Parsi, I am a Jain, I am this, I am that. And if you keep maintaining that, Prahlada says, you are a demon. Asuryam bhava munmichya. As far as Prahlada is concerned, we are demons. We are demons. We are thinking we are all devotees, aren't we? And somebody else is a demon. But Prahlada is calling us demon. Why? If you keep this identity, tasmal sarveshu bhudeshu dayam kurida sauhridam, that you are not able to see that presence of that consciousness in everyone, which is one, not different. And therefore, advanced soul, realized soul, they have no quarrel with anyone in spiritual life. They have no quarrel with anyone. They have no quarrel with anyone. Why there should be any quarrel? Because the truth is one. And from that truth, all these things have come. All these things have come. And you will see the beauty of Vedantam. Vedantam's beauty. What is the beauty of Vedantam? Unlike every other religious processes in this world, where one person has started religion and everyone declare their loyalty and allegiance to that person, in Vedantam, all these great personalities come and go. Including Ramachandra and Krishna, they had come and gone through that process. But allegiance is towards the knowledge, not to the person. This is more important. You owe your allegiance and gratitude to the knowledge what the sages has given to us, not to the sage. And this is the reason sages never spoke about themselves. For this reason only. We have no information, not much information, about all the sages who have released these Upanishads to us. Do you see much information? Even if you search all the Upanishads, you won't see not much of a personal information about the sages. That's not important. Because what they wanted was, take up this understanding, what they have given through their Upanishads knowledge, and experience it. And if you have got that experience, the problem is solved. There is no fight, there is no quarrel. And all the great personalities, all the incarnations, all the appearances of a Supreme Personality, Krishna's appearances in different forms, they have all come in this tradition and gone through. Krishna never said, I started Vedic philosophy. He never said that. Ramachandra never said that. Buddha never said that. Kapila Maharshi never said that. When they are speaking, Krishna is speaking Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is saying Srimad Bhagavatam to Uddhava. He is saying, Uddhava, understand this. It's all happening from the platform of the soul. Krishna is speaking. That is why knowledge is important than the person. Otherwise, what will happen, as it happened in other religious processes, you will owe your allegiance to that person who started. And then what will happen? The next thing what you will do, somebody else comes and says his allegiance to someone. He says, no, you are not bona fide. Let me kill you first. Because you shouldn't be living here. Because you are not in our group. This will happen. This is a sad thing in this world. The sad reality of this world is like that. Whereas Sukadeva Goswami, you can see, we don't have any knowledge of Sukadeva Goswami, where he is, what he is doing now, if you ask. Nor do we have any information of others also, we don't know anything what's happening. But Sukadeva Goswami, he came in a particular form in front of Parikshit, spoke the truth what he has to say and disappeared. After that, where he has gone, what dress he had got, nobody knows about it. Bhagavatam also says that, isn't it? Because Sudeva Goswami is saying to Parikshit, this is not my form, what I am now. Yes, you are seeing me. This is not my form. In order to speak Srimad Bhagavatam, and in order to show thousands of people who are present at that time in the Ganga River, banks of Ganga River, for them to see, he has accepted a form and stayed there. So form is only that much important. This is the main thing. Form has only its own value. But knowledge is higher to the form. Knowledge is higher to the form. Krishna, Ramachandra, Yoga Vasishtam, Ramachandra, Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, Ekadasha Skandam, Krishna, they are all speaking about the knowledge, not about the form. Not about the form. You can see the problem where it's coming from. When you start seeing identification with the forms and showing loyalty to a particular form, you have to fight with somebody else. There's no choice there. That will happen. You can always see that happening. And that is where that person has started in Norway. He started from that platform and therefore he has got problems. He started seeing somebody else is not speaking and somebody else is going to take over this. I'm just not questioning what he has done or not. What I'm saying is where our mind, in which direction it goes, when it is conditioned by a particular way of thinking. So he's here, these verses, Nahyachudam, Prahlada's words, Nahyachudam prenayato bahuayaso asuralpajam. It's a very important verse in the Bhagavatam. Nahyachudam prenayato bahuayaso asuralpajam. Atmatval sarvabhudanam siddhatval iha sarvadaham. Prahlada says to his friends, this thing what I am trying to explain to you, he says, Nahyachudam prenayato. You are saying you are not seeing Krishna. Because the boys who are present with Prahlada, they started saying to Prahlada, Prahlada, you are telling us all these kind of things. We are not seeing Krishna anywhere. We are not seeing that God exists. We are not saying that where is God. We don't see. Right now we are children, let's play. This is what the children were saying to Prahlada. Prahlada was, because of self-realization happened inside Kayadhu, in the womb, Prahlada is of a different substance now, isn't it? So Prahlada is saying, Nahyachudam prenayato, that you don't have to see him. Why? Bahuayaso asuralmajaha. That he is already there. Where? Almatval sarvabhudanam. He is present inside all of you as the soul. He is present inside all of you as the Almatval sarvabhudanam. Then Siddhatval iha sarvadaham. You have already got it. It's not something you have to get it from somewhere else. It's already there in you. All that is required is this realization, awareness must happen inside. And this all that it has to happen is that ignorance should go and the awareness of the soul must happen. Once that happens, then there is nothing else to search after that. It's a very important verse in the Bhagavatam. Almatvad sarvabhudanam siddhatvad iha sarvada. Everybody has got it. Everybody has got it. Siddhatvad, it's already there. Siddhatvad iha sarvada. Because this principle was very strong in the Vedic tradition in the ancient times. That is why when so many other different religions came to India, there was no quarrel. They have accepted that also because of this. This is the reason that so many other different religions came for propagation in India, different times. Christianity came, prior to that Islam came, prior to Jewish religion also came. Buddhism was there, Jainism was there, and Zoroastrianism from Parsis, from Iranians, they came. But for all of those religions were seen by the learned people, the intellectual class, they saw that only in this way, from the platform of knowledge. So there was no quarrel. There was no quarrel. If somebody wants to follow that processes, they are free to do. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. It was not a question of fighting who started which religion and then fight each other. That is the absolute ignorance, total ignorance that is, who started which religion and start fighting on that basis, isn't it? And also equally bad is to say that this self-realization can only happen through us. That's also wrong. Because in that case, you have to invalidate every other realization in this world. What will you say about Socrates? What will you say about so many others? They all have to come back to us again to take this knowledge. That doesn't make any sense. So this understanding is, Prahlada is giving us, opens up our understanding. Atmatval sarva bhudeshu siddhatvaliha sarvada. It's in everyone. They realized it themselves individually. That's what has happened. Atmatval sarva bhudanam siddhatvaliha sarvada. So after saying that, it says here that the nahyachudam prenayatom atmatval sarva bhudanam siddhatval the sarvada. To satisfy Krishna, Achyuta is not very difficult, he says here. What is the reason? You can also get it. Anybody can get it. Atmatval, Krishna says, Prahlada says, Siddhatval, you got it already. And because he is present in you as the soul. And how do you know? Aham asmi, in the form of that awareness. My awareness in me, it is present there, he says here. So, kevalanubhavanandam, kevalanubhavasurupam, shuddha prajna, pure consciousness, Achyuta is present here. Jnanam, and if you remember, we discussed this Vasudeva Shabdam before. Vasudeva is speaking now. See, the name, word Vasudeva, Krishna's father, has been given with little deeper thought behind it. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying, Bahunam janmanamande jnanavanmam prabodhyade Vasudeva sarvamidi samahalma sudurlabha. So that word, if you bring it here, Vasudeva, is also very appropriate, because Vasudeva statements you can see. What does Vasudeva means? You remember in the 5th canto, in the 12th chapter, in the verse 11, who defined Vasudeva at that time? Vasudeva was defined by our Jadabharata. Jadabharata defined Vasudeva, isn't it? What did he say? He said that Bharata Maharshi, Jadabharata was talking to whom? To Rahugana. When he was talking to him, he is defined what is Vasudeva. What did he say? That Jnanam Vishuddham, verse 11 in the chapter 12, 5th canto. Jnanam Vishuddham Paramarthamegam Anandaram Tu Bahir Brahma Satyam Pratyak Prashantam Bhagaval Shabda Samyam Yad Vasudevam Kavayo Vadandi. Very important words. Jnanam Vishuddham Paramarthamegam. That knowledge, pure consciousness in other words, which is present in everyone as pure awareness, that Jnanam, that Vishuddham, that is pure. Paramarthamegam Anandaram Tubahir Brahma Satyam. That has got neither inside outside. It is not a person in that sense, that it has no either inside outside, it's pure. And it is present everywhere. Tobahir Brahma Satyam, and that the same pure consciousness is present inside everyone as Pratyagatma. Pratyak Prashandam, and he is present inside as Pratyagatma. Pratyak Prashandam, and he is addressed as Vasudeva. Bhagaval Shabda Samyam, and he is called as Bhagavan. Bhagaval Shabda Samyam, Yed Vasudevam Kavayo Vadandi. He is addressed as Bhagavan by some people. Some other people call him as Vasudeva. Call him as Vasudeva. So this word Vasudeva, if you ask anyone the question, what does he mean by Vasudeva? You will, first answer will be, is Krishna's dad. That's what you will say. Isn't it? Generally, on a mundane level, if you ask somebody, who is Vasudeva? Do you know who Vasudeva is? And they'll say, oh, I know who Vasudeva is, Krishna's dad. That's the answer. But that is not the way to understand Vasudeva. Vasudeva has to be understood in this way. Jnanam Vishuddham Paramarthamegam Anandaram Tuvahir Brahma Satyam Pratyak Prashantam Bhagaval Shabda Samyam Yad Vasudevam Kavayo Vadandi. That is what is called Vasudeva. And it is that Vasudeva who is speaking here. That with that realization, our Vasudeva is speaking here. Our Vasudeva is speaking with that realization. That is why he says here, this is Vasudeva. The Vasudeva, Vasudeva is talking here. That pure consciousness, pure knowledge, the name is Vasudeva. Jnanam Vishuddham Paramartham Egam Anandam and Abahi Brahmam Satyam Pratyak Prashandam. All this is the definition of Vasudeva. All this is definition of
Vasudeva. So when we define Vasudeva, if we do not take all these things into account and simply say it's Krishna's dad, then our understanding is on the lowest platform. We have understood something, it is Krishna's father, we agree with that. But Vasudeva is, perfect understanding of Vasudeva is this definition of Vasudeva. And it is with that definition, Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita, Bahunam Janmanam Ande Jnanavanvam Prabhadyade Vasudeva Sarvamiti. You know that verse, isn't it? Every devotee knows that verse. Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahal Vasudeva. We tell all other devotees also, Prabhu, when you become realized, you will see everywhere Vasudeva. Vasudeva Sarvamiti. So that realization is this. That Jnanam, it is pure knowledge. It is knowledge, Jnanam. It is Vishuddham, it is pure. And Paramartham, it is absolute. And it is Egam, Paramartham Egam. It's only one. And Anandam, and it is unlimited, it is. Abahihi, it is neither inside, outside. It is truth, it is the absolute truth. Pratyak Prashandam. Why is it called Pratyak Prashandam? The word is important. Pratyak Prashandam means when the mind gets completely under control, or in other words, when the mind is not flapping inside, it is not moving anymore, and at that point that you will cross over Vikshepam and Avaranam. Mind, nobody can identify where the mind is, isn't it? We don't know where it is, but it's there. Everybody accepts that. Scientists also accept there is a thing called mind. And that mind has got two qualities, isn't it? Quality means two features. What are they? One is Vikshepam and the other one is Avaranam. One is this covering potency and the other one is the deluding potency. This is Vikshepa Avaranam. As soon as you say in Vedantam, mind means Vikshepa Avaranam. Vikshepa Avaranam is the mind. So once you have crossed over this, Vikshepam Avaranam has finished in the mind. Then that mind becomes very subdued. It becomes very quiet. When the mind is functioning in us, the two things are happening, either Vikshepam or Avaranam, either covering potency or deluding potency. And that Pratyak Prashandam, that is that word Pratyak Prashandam. And that state is called Bhagaval Shabda Samyam. It is called Bhagavan. It is addressed as Yad Vasudevam Kavayo Vadandi. Devotees will address that as Bhagavan. And the same thing, Jnanis are calling it as Vasudev. That's all. Devotees will address him as Bhagavan. Jnanis will address him as Vasudev. That is why in the 7th chapter, when Krishna said, Jnanavanmam Prabhadyade, Bahunam Janmanamande, Jnanavanmam Prabhadyate, because he is using the word Jnanavan, Krishna calls it as Vasudev. If it was a Bhakta, Krishna will call it as Bhagavan. But in substance, it's all the same. Same one and the same thing. Spoken in different contexts. That's all it is. Jnanavanmam Prabhadyate Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahalma Sudurlabhaha. Such a Mahalma is very, very rare in this world. That's why I'm saying that. So, the same thing. The same thing, Kavis, thoughtful people, Rishis, sages, great Jnanis, and great devotees, they will sometimes address as Vasudeva. Same thing. So, if that Vasudeva Tattvam, the Tattvam of Vasudeva, if it manifests in all of us, Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahalma Sudurlabha, it will manifest in that form that everything is Vasudeva. So actually, Vasudeva is present in everything in this world. It is that Vasudeva who is present in this world as women, as men, as death, as a bird, as animals, as the sky, as the earth, and as people whom you like, and as people whom you don't like. Everything is, Vasudeva is manifesting in front of us in different forms. That's how we have to see it. That's how we have to see it. Vasudeva is present in front of us in all these different forms. Male form, female form, animals form, birds form, beasts form, plants form, trees form. All forms, names and forms, is all Vasudeva's manifestations in different forms. And that same Vasudeva has come as Krishna, as Rama, everything. It's also that same Vasudeva who has come. So all avataram, all incarnations are there, and Vasudeva, one who has realized this, there is nothing else to know here. Nothing else to know here. So here, our Vasudeva, Krishna's father Vasudeva, had this experience of Vasudeva at that time. Till then he had his name as Vasudeva, but now he experienced what Vasudeva is. Up to that time, just like sometimes, you know, in this, so many people you will see, they have got names, but it doesn't suit their nature. It is very very interesting. Sometimes you see, people have got some names, but if you analyze the meaning of the word, it does not fit in with the person of the name. Just like an example, in India we have this name called Chakravarti. Chakravarti. You know what Chakram? Chakravarti means he is the owner of everything, very wealthy. He is emperor-like thing. But he is so pauper. He has no money with him. Completely pauper. And he has got this name Chakravarti. So when you address him, oh Chakravarti, you feel a little difficulty inside. The man is so poor, he has no money in his hands. Like this, you will, in Sanskrit you will see so many names. Nothing is fitting with the person's situation. And similarly, you know, sometimes you give a person name, Sundara, beautiful. And the person is so ugly to look at. Not in any bodily level, I'm just talking this, but nothing, the soul has nothing to do with any of these things. But on bodily level, so similarly, Krishna's Vasudeva, or Vasudeva was carrying the name Vasudeva up to this point, thinking that I am Vasudeva. But when this realization Krishna gave him, he started understanding what is Vasudeva means, really. That his name started experiencing his name, in other words. His own name he started experiencing at that point. So, Prajna Swarupam. Here, you can notice another interesting thing. No name and no form was mentioned. Namarupam was not spoken at all. That is the beauty of this glorification. That's the beauty of this glorifications. When we glorify somebody, we need the name, we need the form. It is through name and form we glorify everyone in this world, isn't it? Whether it is a Wimbledon champion, or whether it is that Khan who is fighting boxing. He has a name and he has a form. That is what will come to your mind first. But here, what do you see? You will see no name mentioned, no form mentioned. The knowledge is spoken as Vasudeva. Knowledge is addressed as Vasudeva. That is the beauty of this. In bhakti, everything is there. Bhakti, everything is there. Some people, when we talk about Bhagavan and everything, they'll say, oh, no, don't say like that. It is impersonal and all that. We'll say like that and we'll throw them out from here. Tell them, you're such an impersonalist, Mayavadi, this and that. All kinds. This is all in the early stages in the realization. In bhakti, all these things. Vasudeva is a devotee and he is speaking like this. So should I reject Vasudeva because he is a Mayavadi like that? How can you reject him? How will you find any justification for all these things? So this understanding has to change in us. That when you probe deeply into the philosophy, you will see these things, this identification with the body, all these kind of designations what you give as Vaishnava, Shaiva, Mayavadi, Advaiti, all these things, they go after a while. It has no influence anymore in pure consciousness. It cannot influence pure consciousness anymore. They are all in the bodily level, you can fight for that a particular feature. That's all. In the early days, yes, it will be there. But everyone has to come through those levels also before we start experiencing the truth. So, so whatever that Brahman, that truth, whom you call it as impersonal and without any call, nirgunam, nirvikaram, niragaram and all that, it is the same thing the devotees are addressing him as sagaram, sagunam, savigaram, everything you are giving to him also in another aspect of it. Substance is one. Patandidat tattvavidam tattvam yajnanam advayam brahmedi paramatmedi bhagavan iti shabdyade. You speak of the same truth in all the three different forms. So, everything is same. But you can see here, when that experience of this experiencer is spoken, they didn't speak about the name and form. When the experience of the experiencer who is experiencing it is spoken, no name and form was given to the experiencer. That is the important thing.
Because if you once you say about the name and form, what will you know what will happen? Immediately you will get it. You will hold on to that. Because that's our nature. Our nature is like that. As soon as the name and form is given, then the name and form is the only thing, the truth. Everything else is false. This is the problem. Because we are so used to this name and form in this world, even when it comes to God or the absolute truth, as you say, addressed in the Bhagavatam, as soon as you speak about the absolute truth, and you say that that is a form, this is the form of the absolute, you catch all of the absolute truth form. Then you say there is nothing else exists, this is the only truth. Then you start ready for the fight with others. So Vedavyasa Maharshi knows this. That is why when he compiled, when he started talking about Tattvam, he doesn't want to talk about the name and form there. So, and if you keep this principle inside and you hear Krishna's pastimes all the time, what you will experience is Samadhi state. That is when it will Samadhi you will experience. Not like on a mundane level if you hear Katha, Katha, Katha all the time and listening through the mind and the intelligence and started thinking that and evaluating every pastime of Krishna from that platform through mind and intelligence, then you will find a lot of contradictions also in there. Whereas with this understanding, Kevalanu Bhavananda Swarupam Sarvabuddhidrik, with that pure consciousness, if you hear Krishna's pastimes in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto particularly, who is performing these pastimes? If you hear the pastimes with this this consciousness inside, you will experience Samadhi. That is the word of Sukadeva Goswami. You will experience Samadhi. The absolute truth, that pure consciousness has taken up this form and playing all these pastimes in this world. All these pastimes in this world. Vasudeva said all these things. So, at that time, if you look into Bhagavatam, you will see something interesting. So, Vasudeva said everything. Because Vasudeva said everything, now what Devaki will say? The man got the priority here. Vasudeva said everything what he has to say. Now, if Devaki repeats the same thing, then it will not be taken very seriously because Vasudeva has already spoken everything. So, in between, you will see something interesting. What Krishna says there, Sri Bhagavan Vacha. That's why Krishna comes in between. So that, to say that you are both equal. Even there itself, they have said you are equal. We are not higher or lower. Sometimes we have this understanding. See, Bhagavatam is an equal opportunity employer. Equal opportunity given to Vasudeva and Devaki. We fight about that, isn't it? Equal opportunity. But here you can see equal opportunity is given. Krishna says, Adhai Shri Shuka Vacham, Adhainam Alpajam Viksha Mahapurusha Lakshanam Devaki Tamubhadhaval Kamsal Bhida Shuchismidaham. So, when Devaki was hearing all these prayers, Vasudeva was saying, said, Sudeva Goswami saying here, that when Devaki looked at that baby and saw all these unusual manifestations, like all this, the baby was appearing in this form, which form? Conch shell, disc, lotus flower. Have you seen a baby taking birth like this, with all the four hands? First of all, four hands. Then all four hands have got four weapons as well. So, although Devaki was frightened about Kamsa, still Devaki started smiling. Although frightened, start smiling and started speaking. That's why you will see the next many verses, Devaki's glorification like Vasudev did. Let's look at that. Shri Devaki Vacham Rupam Yattal Prahu Avyaktamadhyam Brahma Jyotir Nirgunam Nirvikaram Satamatram Nirvishesham Niriham Satvam Sarshal Vishnu Adhyalmadipaham Nashte Loge Dibarardha Vasani Mahabhudeshu Adibhudam Gadeshu Vyakte Avyaktam Kalavege Nayate Bhavanega Shishyade Sheshasamnyaham Yoyam Kalastasya Devyakta Bandho Cheshtamahus Cheshtadeyena Vishwam Nimeshadir Valsarando Mahiyam Sam Sam Teshwanam Kshemadhama Prabhadyem
മർത്യോ മൃത്യുവ്യാലഭീതപ്പലായൻ ലോകാൻ സർവാനിർഭയം നാധ്യഗച്ഛൽ തൊൽപാദാബ്ജം പ്രാപയദ്രച്ഛയാദ്യം സ്വസ്ഥേദേ മൃത്യു അസ്മാദ വൈദി സത്വം ഘോരാദുഗ്രസേനാത്മജാന്ന ത്രാഹീത്രസ്ഥാൻ ഭൃത്യവിത്ര സഹാസി രൂപം ഛേദം പൗരുഷം ധ്യാനനിഷ്ണ്യം മാ പ്രത്യക്ഷം മാം സദൃശാം കൃഷീഷ്ടാഃ ജന്മദേ മയ്യസൗ ചാഭൗ മാ വിദ്യാ മധുസൂദന സമദ്വിജേ ഭവദ്ധേതോ കംസാദഹം അധീരഥീം ഉപസംഹര വിശ്വാത്മൻ അതോ രൂപം അലൗകികം ശംഖചക്രഗദാപദ്മം ശ്രിയാ ജുഷ്ടം ചതുർഭുജം വിശ്വം യദേതൽ സ്വതനൗ നിശാന്തേ യഥാവകാശം പുരുഷപരോ ഭവാൻ ബിഭർത്തി സോയം മമ ഗർഭഗോ ഭൂൽ അഹോ നൃലോകസ്യ വിഡംബനം ഹി തത്. ദിസ് ഈസ് ഓൾ ദേവകീസ് പ്രയേഴ്സ്. അഗെയിൻ യു ക്യാൻ സീ സെയിം ജസ്റ്റ് ലൈക്ക് ദി അതർ വേഴ്സസ്, ഇസ്ന്റ് ഇറ്റ്? Like Vasudev's prayers again. Similar, same thing he's saying here. So, he says here, you can say that, okay, normally men will speak philosophy, isn't it? Women are more practical about life. Men will speak philosophy. So, men can talk all these things, that's fine. But we are very practical people. So can women do all these things? That is the question. So because when a mother sees the child, what is the first thing that will happen? It is my son. That's the first feeling in a mother's mind, isn't it? Mother, difficult for mother to see, is the absolute truth standing in front of me. Supreme personality of Godhead is friend of me standing here. Or is the supreme controller, supreme enjoyer. Will a mother have any of these feelings? First impression in the mother's mind will be, is my son. For any mother, it is like that, isn't it? So it is. We will say like that normally, isn't it? So Devaki, but what has Devaki done here is something interesting. Devaki put Vasudeva behind. In this glorification, what Devaki did was, even Vasudeva could not do it, that is what Devaki has done in her glorification. He has even beaten Vasudeva while glorifying Krishna. Yes, even beaten Vasudev. That's what you will see there. Then Devaki took the first rank and put Vasudev on the second rank. So you can see that when Devaki started glorifying, look at that glorification itself. And Vasudev's stuti, you requires explanation to understand. It has to be explained properly. Only then you will understand Vasudev's glorification. But Devaki stuti, you don't have to even explain it properly. Why? If you just recite the verses, you will understand that you won't understand it. That is the beauty of Devaki stuti. Devaki stuti, when you hear, you will understand that you won't understand it. That is the beauty of Devaki stuti. So good. That is why the 24th verses, if you look at this, see, look at the way Devaki is saying to her son, രൂപം യത്തത് പ്രാഹു അവ്യക്തമാദ്യം ബ്രഹ്മജ്യോതിർ നിർഗുണം നിർവികാരം സത്താമാത്രം നിർവിശേഷം നിരീഹം സത്വം സാക്ഷാൽ വിഷ്ണു അധ്യാത്മദീപാഹം. ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് ദി വേഴ്സ്. വെരി ഡിഫിക്കൾട്ട് വേഴ്സ് ഓൾസോ ടു എക്സ്പ്ലെയിൻ ദാറ്റ്. ഫസ്റ്റ് ബിഗിനിങ് ഇറ്റ്സെൽഫ് ഈസ് രൂപം യത്തത് പ്രാഹു അവ്യക്തമാദ്യം. Somebody is lying in front of you and Devaki is telling him, your form is not very clear to me. How will you like it? Suppose I see someone and says, look, I don't know how you look like. If you say like that, what does it mean? Rubam yatat prahu avyaktamadhyam. It is not very clear. So then he says, Devaki Devi says like this, Krishna, all I can say is, this is how Shruti Vedas have spoken about you. And that's what I'm saying. That's how Devaki is taking shelter there. Because Devaki thought, if I use the right words from the Shruti, from the Vedas, then nothing can go wrong. How Shruti addresses Krishna is like this. Rupam yatat prahu avyaktamadhyam. So Shruti means Vedam, yeah? Shruti, she has taken on board and started using the words in the Shruti to address Krishna. to glorify Krishna. Avyaktam, never clear what is his form. Avyaktam. Adhyam, adhyam means it has some beginning. It has some beginning. When you say avyaktam, something is vyaktam. Vyaktam means very clear when it has got a name and form. When it's got a name and form. But Krishna also has namarupam, is something what we have given to Krishna, isn't it? Krishna is something very difficult to define. What is Krishna? What is Krishna? That is what Parikshit asked the question. Remember? Who asked the question? Sudeva Goswami asked Parikshit the question. You want to hear about Krishna, don't you? Which Krishna? That's how it started. Which Krishna are you talking about? So then Parikshit said few things. Krishna who protected our grandparents, my grandparents. Krishna who protected me when I was in the womb. Sukadeva Goswami said, that I don't need to explain. You know it better. What do I have to explain? When he said that Krishna who has present andarbahi purusha kala rupaihi, inside as Purusha, outside as Kalam, who is present inside, talk to me about that Krishna. And that is when Sudeva Goswami started replying. And similarly, here also, when you have a name and a form, if you have no name and form, it's avyaktam. It's not very clear. It's not manifested. Adhyam. Adhyam means, prior to this, nothing else existed. It is the only thing that existed from the beginning. Adhyam means, one, it doesn't have an end either. Always existing. That's what the word adhyam means. Adhyam means there is no andam either. Andam means the end. There is no end either. There is no end either. No beginning, no end. And no middle also. Neither beginning. Rubam, it says, ahu avyaktam adhyam. Adhyam covers all these things. It has neither beginning, nor end, nor middle either. Neither of them exist in there. So, and even if something has got a beginning and an end, and if it has, in the beginning, it appears as though it exists, in reality it has no existence, which I've said before. Something which has got a reality in the beginning, and it has got an end, in the end it is real, although it's real in the beginning and real at the end, if it manifests in the middle in some form, it has no existence in reality. It has, because it was not there in the beginning and it's not there at the end either. And therefore, what exists in the beginning and what exists at the end only exists in the middle also. This is Vedantam. Vedantam is very powerful that way, the arguments. You can't easily beat that argument. Only if you have to understand that, understand with the proper prajna. Prajna is necessary to accept that. It's not on a mundane level, scientists are arguing with matter. You see, you're not arguing with matter here. You're arguing with the principle, higher principle. And rishis are telling us that what existed in the beginning, whatever that vastu is, that is why Bhagavatam won't define a name for that. Vastu is called vastu. Vastu. Vastu means some particular object. What was there in the beginning, that vastu, vastu, as addressed in the Bhagavatam, is vastu, isn't it? Janmadhyase edonnaya idras charte shabhijnaswara tene brahmahridaya adigavaye mukhyandiya surya tejovarimrutam idhavinimayo yatratrisargo mrusha dhamna swena sada nirasta kuhagam satyambaram dhimahi dharma sada nirasta kuhagam satyambaram dhimahi. Always negative, always negating everything and always speaking about the truth. Then in the next verse, dharma projjita kaidavotra paramo nirmatsaranam satam vedyam vastavam atra vastu shivadam. That vastu is what is given importance. What vastu is given importance. So, so here you can see that one has no beginning. Therefore, because it is like that, that it has, what is beginning, what is present in the world, what is present before creation, which what was present here. And it is the same thing that exists when the creation is over and when the whole thing is destroyed, he exists still. And in the middle, it is only he who is existing here. And it is not truth. And that is the reason this is all called Maya. You understand why it's called Maya now? People ask questions.
Why is it called Maya, Prabhu? It's all real, isn't it? That's how they will present it to us. People who have not studied Bhagavatam, they'll ask this question. How can you call it Maya? How do you say it's Maya? The reason why it's called Maya is, what was present in the beginning and what is present at the end is the reality. Only that is reality. What was present in the beginning, it's real. What is present at the end, that's also real. That's also real. And because it is like that, nothing else can exist in the middle. Because all of that, what is existed in the middle. When I say middle means what? Middle means prior to creation and after the dissolution. What existed prior to creation, what exists after the dissolution. Yeah, that is the truth. That is the truth. Creation and everything inside the creation is in between. It has come from what was there in the beginning. From there it has come. And the beginning, what was there, when it got destroyed at the end, when it went through all these changes in the middle, and when it ended up as the real truth as it existed in the beginning, in that middle process, so many changes have gone through. So many changes have gone through. And that changes what has gone through is called Maya. Is called Maya. A person who is searching the truth, he has to keep all these things in the perspective. Otherwise, how can you understand the truth? Situated completely inside the Maya. That is why we keep saying this. All our activities are inside this Maya. Everything is happening, including our sadhana is inside this Maya. Is it not? So, while in the Maya, whenever we are executing any spiritual activity, there is a slight tinge of Maya there. You can't take it away. Only one who is completely liberated from Maya, his spiritual activities are pure. Our spiritual activities are never pure. Because all our spiritual activities had a tinge of this Maya. How is that present in us? Present in us in the form of false ego. False ego. That is why when we execute sadhana also, false ego has an influence there. Isn't it? I have done 16 rounds, I have done 32 rounds, I have done 64 rounds. Or that aham, aham, aham inside is saying this, I have been doing this. I have read Bhagavatam. I have studied Bhagavad Gita. And I cooked the prasadam. I did the deity worship. Everything I is important there. Is it not? So that is ahamruti. That ahamruti is present, jiva's nature. Because it is in Maya, he cannot do without that. He has to do it in that way only. That is only possible. So Maya is defined in that way that one there is no. So why? First of all, all these forms what you are seeing, they appeared at a particular time, isn't it? And at a particular time, they will disappear also. All the forms what we are here, we all appeared at different dates, different year, different times. It appeared. And at different times, we will disappear also. In between, for some time, you are seeing all these names and forms together. That's all. Only for a particular short period of time, you see them together in a particular form and a particular name. That itself shows that none of them is real, isn't it? That, first of all, the appearance of all of us is very interesting, isn't it? How we arrived in this world, appeared at different times, in different planetary conditions, in different places, under different parents, different bodies we got. And then we lived in this world for some time, and at different times we will all disappear from this world. We'll be forgotten also from this world. So what does that indicate is that because it is like that, we have to be also called as part of Maya. This body and this mind, this intelligence, everything is part of Maya. The only good thing what we have got is there is a spark of that absolute truth present in this Maya. Spark of that, which is the soul. That is the only valuable thing in this Maya. Not the body, not the mind, not the intelligence, not the ego. Only that spiritual spark who is present inside this Maya, under whose presence we are enjoying this Maya, under whose presence we have taken the ownership of everything, under whose presence we are actually acting as the doers and the enjoyers, kartutva bhoktrutvam, under whose presence we cultivate ragam and attachment and aversion, ragam and dvesham, under whose presence we want to take control of the world, all these things happening is in his presence. If he is not there, none of those things were going to happen. So therefore it is said like this, that only for a short period of time we experience all these things. Therefore, even if we see it, it's only a film or a cinema. It's only a drama, and therefore it is a lie. It's a false thing, and it is not permanent. It didn't exist some time before, isn't it? For all of us, center point didn't exist some time ago. It's existing for some time, and after that, it may not exist also. So, beginning, end, all these things exist. Whereas Krishna is concerned, what is addressed as avyaktam. Avyaktam, it means it has no birth. Somebody has just taken birth, and we are telling that person, you have no birth. That's how Devaki Devi's prayers are. Why? Because it is like that. If you say to someone, you have not taken birth, that means you have no death either. Only one who has taken birth has to die. So Devaki Devi is very careful about the words. What Devaki Devi is saying is that De rūpam yat tad prāhu avyaktam mādhyam. In 3-4 words, Devaki Devi covered all this knowledge of the Upanishads. Rūpam yat tad prāhu. This rūpam, what I am seeing in front of me, prāhu avyaktam, it has no birth, and it is not the form, I could say that it is the eternal thing. Prāhu avyaktam ādhyam, it has no beginning, it has no end either. It has no end either. So, therefore, because it is like that, it has no birth, no death either. No death either. Only something that is permanent has no birth or death. That is also we must remember. Something that is permanent has no birth or death. This is Krishna's greatest philosophical point, isn't it? In Bhagavad Gita also, nasato vidyate bhavo. And that is the same message coming here. Na bhavo vidyate sada ubhayorabhi drishtvandam stanayor tattva darshibhi. What is eternal, shashvatam, permanent, it cannot have death. It cannot have death. And what is temporary, it cannot have a permanent existence either. It's a very good concept, isn't it? If we accept this concept properly, this knowledge, then there is a question of fighting. You can't kill anybody, can you? You can kill the external form, but you can't kill the person. He will get another body. You kill him, you'll get another body. That's what's going to happen. So where's the point in killing there? So that's what it said, mentions here, that whatever that is born, that has no death either. And that she calls it as Brahma Jyotir Nirgunam Nirvigaram. That Brahmam, it's a Jyoti. It is illumination. That Jyotihi. And that Jyotihi, she is talking about what kind of Jyotihi, what is the nature of that Jyotisa. What is interesting about this is another important point. Yeah, we have talked about this from Ekashlogi, which we discussed earlier, but we'll come back to that. The same principle is coming here. She is saying here, what is the nature of this lamp? Jyoti means lamp. Yeah, Jyoti means lamp. This is, she says here, Brahmam Jyoti Nirgunam Nirvigaram. This Jyoti, Brahma Jyoti, is Nirgunam Nirvigaram. What is the beauty of this Jyoti? Some people asked this question the other day. This Jyoti, how you define this Jyoti? This is the definition for that. Jyoti is like this. Jyoti means, again, pure consciousness. That is the Jyoti. It's not the light, like if you burn a lamp, that lamp's light. That kind of not Jyoti is referred to here. What's interesting about this Jyoti is, suppose there is a lamp burning. Suppose there is a lamp burning. To see that lamp, you don't need another lamp, isn't it? To see some other object, you need a lamp. To see an object, suppose the total darkness here and this mic here. If I want to see the mic, I need light. I need a Jyoti. I need a jyoti. But to see the lamp itself, I don't need a lamp, because the lamp itself is has the jyoti coming from that. Similarly, Krishna is saying here, this jyoti, this Brahma jyoti, because it is pure awareness, pure consciousness, it doesn't require the help of somebody else for that to know. It can know everything on its own without any external support from outside. External support. Do you understand what I'm saying? That pureness in that jyoti is capable. Jyoti's pure very nature of that jyoti is its pure consciousness. Nitya Shuddha Buddham Mukta Swarupam. Buddham, it is. Always pure consciousness it is. That means it is conscious of everything in this creation. It is pure, fully conscious. Just like the lamp doesn't require any external help for the lamp to know anything, this jyoti which is inside all of us, it is completely conscious of everything in its pure state. In its pure state. That is what jyoti means. It's not the lamp sense it's used. The comparison is given to a lamp so that it's easy to understand as a jyoti. You see, it is used as a jyoti to give us a comparison only, but it is not a light. You should not think it's a light. It is awareness. It's that awareness inside, in its pure consciousness, it is eternal, it is pure, it is fully conscious, it's always liberated state. When you come to the platform of the soul. So that is what is addressed here. Jyotishamabhidajyotihi. If you look into the 13th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, you will see Krishna is saying the same thing. In the 13th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, if you look into the verse 18, then verse 18 will say this. Jyotisham abhidajyoti tamasaparamuchyate yanam yeyam yanagamyam hridi sarvasya vishtidam. Jyotisham abhidajyoti, he says, tamasaparam uchyate yanam yeyam yanagamyam hridi sarvasya vishtidam. Upanishad it is. It is a verse of Upanishad verse is brought in here. So, Jyotisham abhidajyoti. Look at the translation. He is the source of light in all luminous objects. He is beyond the darkness of matter and is unmanifested. Up to that, if you read, you will think it is light. But in the next sentence, you can see what Prabhupada is saying. He is knowledge. He is knowledge. He is the object of knowledge. And he is the goal of knowledge. He is situated in everyone's heart. The spiritual nature of the soul. Spiritual nature of the soul. Jnanam, jnayam, jnanagamyam. That's the word. Jnanam is knowledge. Jnayam, he is the substance to be known. Jnanagamyam, he is the destination of all the... Says here, is the object of knowledge, is the goal of knowledge, and he is situated in everyone's heart. Hridi sarvasya vishtidam. Hridi sarvasya vishtidam. And jnanam jnayam jnanagamyam. He is the knowledge, jnayam to be known, and jnanagamyam to approach by knowledge. Jnanagamyam to be approached by knowledge. So at some point you can see jnanam jnayam jnanagamyam, they all become one. They all become one. So when that happens, when the realization happens. So jyotishamabhidajyoti tamasaparam uchyate jnanam jnayam jnanagamyam hridi sarvasya vishtidam. Hridi sarvasya vishtidam. It says like that, isn't it? Jnanam jnayam jnanagamyam hridi sarvasya vishtidam. What kind of jyoti is that? Now let's understand what the jyoti is. Jyoti means this illumination coming from that source. This world and the sun through whose help we are seeing this world, this material creation, and the sun through whom we are seeing this creation, and then the fire, Agni, the fire, and that is one Jyotisa. Moon, that is another Jyotisa. And the eye which is seeing all of that, the eye which is seeing the sun, seeing them, all of them are individual jyotis. right? Individual jyoti they are. Which one? The sun, the moon, the planet, and the stars, everything, they are all on individually, they are all a jyotis. They are all a jyoti, illumination. Now there is one jyoti which is seeing all these jyoti, that's our eyes. And behind these eyes, someone who is coming and experiencing all this, coming from the mind, is another jyoti there. Another jyoti. Mind comes through the senses and experiences the world, isn't it? Mind comes through the senses and experiences the world. Experience means that when you see the sun, where is the reaction? Reaction is not in the eye. The reaction happens in the mind, isn't it? So you can see that the close link between the senses and the mind. Anything, the senses is experiencing something. Say, we are eating something. So, we are saying that the tongue is tasting. Who is saying that it is the food is tasty? The mind is saying. Tongue is not telling me the food is tasty. Mistakenly, we think the tongue is telling us. But actually, the experience of that taste is in the mind, not in the tongue. Is it not? It's not difficult to understand, isn't it? That anything when you experience through the senses, that experience is not happening in the sense. It's happening in the mind. Is it not? It's happening in the mind. So that is another jyoti who is present behind all this jyoti. Outside we have the sun, moon, the planet, stars, everything. They on their own have their own jyoti. But there is one jyoti here who is seeing everything and is experiencing it. If the eye is not there, sun, moon, all these things don't exist. Isn't it? This is the principle of Vedanta. It's very interesting also if you look at it this way. And if this eye also cannot experience it, if the mind is not there. You can have the sun, moon, planets, everything. You can have the eyes also. For example, a dead man is lying there. You ask him, my dear friend, tell me about the sun. He won't even reply, would he? Why? Because there is no mind there. Mind has left the body. The subtle body is gone. Eye is still there. You can keep your eye open. Pull it out, open the eye. And tell him to look at the sun. And tell him to tell me about the sun. Will he be able to answer? He won't answer. He'll keep quiet. He'll close the eye as soon as it's finished. He'll pull his eyes down. So you can see there, from a subtle level when you look at it, the mind also, the eye also is not important. Those objects are also not important. Because behind these eyes and the objects, there is the mind. There is the mind. So that is why the mind is there. But when you are experiencing that inside the mind, there is someone who is saying something from inside, who is making a comparison inside, and who is judging your experience at that time. That is called a buddhi, isn't it? Buddhi does that. Say, for example, if you have tasted something and the mind is saying it is very tasty, but what kind of taste? It's only saying it's tasty. Mind is not saying anything more than that. But what kind of taste it is, whether you have, whether you are able to classify that in a particular way, taste, a sour taste or bitter taste or sweet taste or all these experiences, who is saying that? The buddhi is doing that. Buddhi is the one which is discriminating your experiences. All your experiences, discrimination is happening through the buddhi. Buddhi does that. And that is the another light behind this. And there is one light behind that buddhi, who is in whose presence all these things are happening. But to show that jyoti, you don't need another jyoti. That is the beauty of that jyoti. Whereas all the other jyotis, you required one jyoti behind it. But if you keep going like this, when you reach that source jyoti, the original jyoti, after that you don't need another jyoti. Why? This jyoti has the capacity to know everything and doesn't require any further probe of its origin or its source, because that itself is the very end from where all the source of everything. It's coming from there. It's coming from everything from there. That is why that verse, you see, if you look into Bhagavad Gita, Jyotisham abhidat jyoti. Of all the jyoti, I am that jyoti who is behind all these things. Jyotisham abhidat jyotihi. Abhidat jyoti. Of all the jyotis, I am that jyoti who is right behind everything. And how to realize that tamasap paramuchyate, that you have to cross through this great ocean of darkness, nescience in there. Tamasap paramuchyate. If you go beyond than that, you can see him. What is that darkness, that tamasa, what it is referred to? It is the vasana inside us. The strong vasanas inside us. That is vasana padalam, it is called vasana padalam. Vasana padalam it is addressed as vasana padalam. So, what is that vasana? For several lifetimes, what we have created in us in the form of ragam and dvesham, attachment and aversion, attachment and aversion. And that has become a patalam. Patalam means a thick coat. A thick coat. Ragadvesham, what we have developed in different lifetimes, it has become a thick coat and it is inside us. And that is what is that thing that is not allowing us to see that jyoti inside. Jyotisham abhidha jyoti. Tamasa paramuchyate. Krishna is saying like that. Isn't it? So vasana padalam, it is mentioned that this vasana, what we have inside us, depending on how much attachment and aversion you have created in this world, accordingly it will be strong. It will be strong. And those who have got a lot of strong vasanas, you will see them also, that ragadvesham will also be very high in them. Ragadvesham will be very high in them. So that vasana, but although it has become a vasana, a thick coat of vasana, that's the same thing, that vasana, which we is stopping us in experiencing in the vacant state, in the dream state, it's the same thing in the deep sleep which is covering us. That same vasana is covering our identity, covering our identity. And that vasana padalam, that thick vasana, in vacant state you have to get rid of through karma yoga. This is the process. Bhagavad Gita's principle is like that. That thick ignorance in us, in the vacant state, jagrat avastha, you have to get rid of through karma yoga and satsangam, bhakti, everything. That's what we do through sadhana, isn't it? Sadhana is for that purpose. Japam, dhyanam, karma yogam, and also bhakti, satsangam, they're all there. Is necessary to remove that vasana from inside. Above all these things, Krishna's mercy. Krishna's mercy. Without that mercy, nothing will happen. Nothing will happen. So, if it happens like that, what Krishna says there, tamasa param uchyate, that you have gone beyond that darkness. That's when you have gone beyond that darkness. What is the nature of that? That is knowledge. That knowledge, that inside is that, what is covered is knowledge. What does the darkness covers? It covers the knowledge. So, it is that knowledge, and that is the knowledge itself who is experiencing everything. That is why it is addressed in three different ways. Jnanam, Jnayam, Jnanagamyam. You see that? Krishna uses three words there. He could have just said knowledge. He didn't leave it there. Jnanam, Jnayam, Jnanagamyam, he says. That is to be known, and that is the knowledge. That is the goal of the knowledge. Jnanam, Jnayam, that is to be known. Jnanagamyam, that is the goal also at the end. That itself is the knowledge, jnanam. And jnanagamyam, that is the approaching towards that, the process. And jnayam, that is to be known. Because you can't explain it in any other way. It is pure knowledge, pure consciousness. That's what it, that is the very nature of that. Very nature of that is like that. And what else? Hridi sarvasya vishtidam. It is present in everyone. It is present in everyone. In other words, in everyone's heart, at the center point,
when we are experiencing that awareness, ahamasmi, ahamasmi, that is where you have to search for him. That is where he is present. If you search there, you will find him. In other words, you have to search for in them who are searching for that. Who are searching for that. You have to search in the person who is searching. Who is searching, that you have to find out who is searching. So, and while meditating, who is meditating? You have to ask the question. And when somebody is reflecting, who is reflecting? You have to ask that question. And avyaktamadhyam brahmajyotihi. And Krishna says there, what is the symptom? Nirgunam nirvigaram. Look at the brahmajyotihi. Now, Devaki Devi's definitions. Brahmajyotir nirgunam nirvigaram. Nirgunam. Nirgunam means there is no modes of nature there. That's what it means. Modes of nature are not present there. Doesn't mean that it doesn't have any qualities. No material qualities. That's what it means. Spiritual qualities are all present there. Because if there was no quality, it was completely nirgunam. This happiness, shanti, please, shanti means peace. The priyam, loving for others, where is it coming from? It's coming from that source. So there is gunam there. Only thing is, those gunams are not coming from the three modes of material nature. That's what it means. It's not under the three modes of material nature. We shouldn't get caught up in all these words too much. Not caught up in the words. Nirgunam nirvigaram. So nirgunam means, some people will say it's useless because there is no gunam. They'll say there is no gunam, so it's useless. But we kept on saying like that, we got used to it. So this word nirgunam, it's loaded with a lot of ideas now. When you talk about this word nirgunam, it's loaded with a lot of ideas. But what does actually nirgunam mean? Nirgunam means it is not touched by the modes. That's all it means. Sattvam, Rajasa, Tamasa, they are the gunam, isn't it? Those three gunam, Sattva, Rajasa, Tamasa, is not present there. But there are other gunams there. Transcendental qualities are there. Transcendental, if they were not there, it won't come in us anytime. Just like we mentioned, when a mother sees the child, such an amount of affection and feeling for the child, where is it coming from? Where is it coming from? That source is Krishna. That source is Krishna. When we discuss 12th chapter, we'll discuss that a little bit more. But what we have to understand is this, that nirgunam nirvikaram, that Krishna, there is no nirvikaram. Nirvikaram means there is no emotions in there. But all the three modes won't affect it. But at the same time, there is sufficient energy there and the living force is present there. Vikara means change. Vikara means change. If there is no vikara means jadam, dead matter, jadam, which has no change. Vikara shunyam, it says. But if you say nirvigaram, our thoughts will immediately go into jadam, dead matter. But here it is not that what it means. Nirvigaram doesn't matter. Here what it means is that here it's always there is complete shanti or peace inside. Therefore it doesn't change. That's how we have to understand that. It will not change because there is total peace inside. Shanti. Shanti. Remember, Krishna talks about shanti everywhere, isn't it? You know that. Huh? Throughout Bhagavad Gita, Tataparam shanti mubai disakshal. After all Krishna consciousness, Kavi Maharshi says, Tataparam shanti mubai disakshal. Shanti is the ultimate state. All other things is not the perfect state. For example, emotions, if you take. Sometimes we say, I'm feeling so ecstatic, devotees will say. Feeling very ecstatic. And the next moment the devotee will say, I'm feeling so miserable also. Prabhu, I'm not feeling any enthusiasm to chant. I'm so depressed. I need some help, counseling or whatever. We say like that. So that shows, what does that show? That means his ecstasy and his depression, they are both on the same platform. One minute he felt ecstasy. Thought, neither any of the emotions has any permanent standing. They will not stay. They will all come and go, come and go, come and go all the time. But shanti, peace, that is the perfection of state. Perfectional state is that shanti, peace inside. Krishna says this in the Bhagavad Gita very clearly. That where does he say? Bhokta aram yajnatavasam sarvaloka maheshwaram suhridam sarvabhudanam. What happens?
Jnatva mam shanti mrachyati. Becomes shanti comes to him, isn't it? So shanti is the perfect stage, not ecstasy. Ecstasy you can get through ecstasy also. Ecstasy is there. You can buy ecstasy now. So ecstasy you can get, but shanti you can't buy. Have you noticed that? There's nobody selling shanti. Ecstasy people are selling. That's the difference. So you can see emotions on itself is not perfection. We simply say, oh Prabhu, it is so ecstatic. We are in such an ecstatic state now. Yes, you are ecstatic. But what are you now? Where is the ecstasy gone? As soon as you leave the room, ecstasy is gone. What's the use of that? We want something that is permanent, isn't it? That is shanti. That is a shanti state, is a perfectional state. That is what is spoken here. So, so here, these words, you have to carefully look at it. Because when Krishna is saying like this, that nirgunam, Devaki's words are very precise. Nirgunam, nirvikaram, each word requires explanation like that. And that is sattamatram. And that is the most powerful word. Satamatram nirvishesham niriham. Satvam sakshal vishnu adhyalpadeepam. Satamatram. What does satamatram mean? Satamatram. You will see jnanis use this word very frequently. Satamatram, satamatram they will say about Krishna. Satamatram. So, satamatram, satamatram. So, satamatram, Krishna's body is talked about now. Krishna's body we are discussing now. It is satamatram. What is satamatram? Satamatram nirvishesham niriham, he says here. These are three adjectives used about Krishna's body. Satamatram nirvishesham niriham. Now, material body we have, isn't it? We have material body. But that body, Krishna's body, is not like our material body. Not like our material body. The difference is very difficult to explain that because it is something only Krishna has got. We haven't got it. If ever we get it, we can say it is satamatram. But we haven't got it so at the moment. So we won't understand what that satamatram experience is. Satamatram, satamatra shariram. Satamatra shariram means that Krishna doesn't see that I have a separate body from him. For us, body is separate from us, isn't it? Especially when you start studying. Although we are in the grip of the body, we know very well that body is not me. Isn't it? Body is not me. We know that. We all know that, isn't it? We are not this body. We all say it to others at least. We tell everyone, we are not this body. So at least that much we know. So here, Krishna's case, he doesn't have to say that. I'm not this body. Krishna will never say, I'm not this body. Why? There is no difference between Krishna's body and the soul. That is why it's called satamatram. That sata, sata means that essence, means the spirit is his body. The spirit itself is his body. Satamatram nirvishesham niriham, he says there. Satamatram nirvishesham niriham. Nirvishesham, you cannot give any kind. Nirvishesham means you can't give any explanation to that. Material body, I can give an explanation, isn't it? I can say it is fat, it is thin, it is brown, it is white, it is black, and it has got these kind of features, black hair, blonde hair, blue eyes, all kinds of explanations you can explain this. Krishna's body, you can't give that explanation. Because why? Why is it like that? Satamatram it is. Satama, it is made of pure soul, it is spiritual. In our material eyes, we may see in a different ways, but we don't see Krishna really. When we look at him, what we see in the temple is what we have created in a particular form. We are not seeing Krishna, are we? Krishna has never come and told me that this is my form. Okay, we'll accept it like that because Shastram is telling like that. Spiritual masters are telling us for to facilitate our worship, to connect with Krishna, we have all the forms in the temple. But Krishna's real form is satamatram nirvishesham niriham. It is satamatram. There is pure sata, pure essence that is. Nirvishesham, no adjectives. You can't use any adjectives to explain that. And what else is there? Niriham. Niriham means that no iha. That means no desires, no craving and any kind of like we have
in our mind we have desires and all kinds of emotions, everything. In that body, Krishna has no desires and no kind of attachment, aversion, anything inside. That's why it's called niriham. So, satamatram, nirvishesham, niriham. Devaki is addressing Krishna like this. And none of them will touch that. Why? It is addressed as adhyalma divam. Pure soul, pure spirit it is. Adhyalma divam. Life which is made of pure spirit. Or in other words, you can say the lamp which is knowledge. The lamp which is made of knowledge. And that is, this is what earlier we have seen in the Bhagavatam, Karuna, and to deliver this knowledge in the Bhagavatam, Yaswanubhavam akila shruti saramekam adhyatma deepam. Remember that word? Adhyatma deepam there. Adhyatma deepam aditi tirshadam tamondham. And to give this adhyatma deepam, what Devaki is explaining here, to give that adhyatma deepam to us, samsarinam karunayaha purana guhyam, because of this causeless compassion to us. Compassion to us means samsaris who are absorbed in the material. Samsarinam, due to their kindness towards us, purana guhyam tam vyasasunam vedavyasa maharshi's son upayami gurum muninam. Sudha Goswami paid his obeisances to Sudeva Goswami in this way. Because this Adhyatma Deepam in the Srimad Bhagavatam is given to us by Sukadeva Goswami, and that is what he has done in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Recognizing this, he has spoken that verse there. We will stop today, Ekadashi day. We'll start tomorrow again. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.